Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a pizza paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Iraqis are reacting calmly so far to words Saddam Hussein will be executed by hanging in days or weeks. That sentence affirmed by the highest appeals court in the country. CBS's Pete Gow.
The announcement itself from the Iraqi High Tribunal didn't come until after darkfall. And then by the time they gave a press conference and detailing more precisely their findings, Iraq was already under curfew. So there hasn't really been the opportunity for the kind of rallies and demonstrations that we're so used to seeing after such announcements.
The what next debate for the U.S. in Iraq bubbles on. CBS's Mark Noller with the president in Crawford, Texas.
Coming up with a plan for a new way forward in Iraq tops the agenda for President Bush while at his ranch. He'll confer about it Thursday with members of his National Security Council, including Vice President Cheney, Secretary of State Rice, and Defense Secretary Gates. One option known to be under consideration is an increase in the number of U.S. forces in Iraq.
On that, Senator Joe Biden of Delaware.
I want to make it clear I totally oppose the surging of additional American troops into Baghdad.
And Biden announced today he will run for the Democratic nomination for president. The after-Christmas shopping frenzy is going full tilt boogie now with deep discounts, advertised as much as 70%. If, on the other hand, your business is Amazon.com, you already have a smile on your face.
This year it was, once again, our best ever.
That's Craig Berman.
Our busiest day, we shipped worldwide, we shipped over 3.4 million units.
Hey, guys, another great reason to cut back on the waistline.
Here's a way for men to decrease their risk of developing an aggressive form of prostate cancer. Lose weight. A study in the journal Cancer Epidemiology, Biomarkers, and Prevention finds that men who dropped at least 11 pounds had a 42% reduced risk compared to men whose weight remained the same. This study followed nearly 70,000 men over a 10-year period.
CBS's Barry Bagnato in Washington. Long-term use of anti-heartburn acid reflux medicines may be bad for your bones. Why? They may inhibit the absorption of calcium. That's crucial for our bones as we get older. Study by the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine found a 44% higher risk of hip fracture for those who take those medicines.
This is a man's world.
James Brown's funeral plans are set. It'll be open to the public in Augusta, Georgia, at the James Brown Arena, seating capacity about 8,500. The body will lie in repose at the Apollo Theater in New York City on Thursday, where fans can pay their respects.
Watch me!
James Brown, godfather of soul, died on Monday of heart failure in Atlanta. He was 73. On Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 65 points today to close at about 12,408. The NASDAQ up about 12 points on the day. This is CBS News.
Kenny Mayne here with Walt at the driving range.
Right in the woods, shanked it.
Walt's a bad driver when it comes to golfing.
Terrible.
But he's a good driver on the road, and Progressive Direct rewards good drivers.
Come on, Walt. What?
In fact, good drivers like Walt, who switched to Progressive last year, saved hundreds.
Ah, jeez, look at that four!
Which can buy Walt some golf lessons. See what you can save. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE today.
I love this game!
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations. Rates and potential savings will vary.
The following is a paid commercial message.
It's estimated that over 200 million people in the U.S. suffer from herpes-caused cold sores. There are many products on the market today. Relieve One-Day Cold Sore Symptom Treatment is excellent because it relieves cold sore symptoms in just a day. Pain eases in minutes, and other symptoms resolve in just 24 hours. Relieve is non-toxic, comprised of botanical extracts, and is 100% guaranteed. Millions of sufferers have found that Relieve works best for them. Only you can determine that Relieve is best for you. You can now buy Relieve at most major stores.
Ethiopian officials say its troops are halfway to crushing an Islamist stronghold in Mogadishu, which threatens them. from Somalia. CBS's Charles Wolfson.
While urging maximum restraint to protect civilians, the State Department said it supported military operations by Ethiopian troops acting inside Somalia. Spokesman Gonzalo Gallegos said the U.S. is concerned by the impact the fighting is having on civilians and warned we do not believe this can be resolved on the battlefield. Ethiopia's troops are trying to counter Islamic militias acting inside Somalia.
A Fort Walton Beach man who ran an adult novelty and clothing store has been busted for putting a camera in the dressing room. Police say the clock radio hid a tiny camera at the sexy lady shop in Crestview, Florida. The man claimed he knew nothing about the camera in the clock, said he bought it secondhand. They also found recording equipment. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hi, I'm Kenny Mayne. Safe, good drivers like Vern here, who switched to Progressive Direct last year, saved hundreds of dollars. So, Vern, what did you do with the savings?
I made my car even safer.
How?
Linked a PA system to my blinker here and...
I plan on turning left. Okay, good times. Progressive rewards good drivers with great savings. You can use those savings to do things like Vern here. Or not. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE today.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations. Rates and potential savings will vary.
You're on the Ovaltine Nutrition Hotline with nutritionist Felicia Stoller.
Felicia, I know that flavoring milk is a good way to get my kids to drink more milk, but is there a difference in chocolate milk flavorings?
There really is. Compare the nutrition in rich chocolate Ovaltine to Nesquik powder and see the difference. Ovaltine contains over twice as many vitamins and minerals as Nesquik, so Ovaltine's more nutritious. And kids love the taste of rich chocolate Ovaltine. When it comes to nutrition, Ovaltine's the better choice.
More Ovaltine, please!
Mother Jones Magazine joins us, and we're going to talk about the amazing database, the Iraq timeline that they have constructed at the MotherJones.com website, and we'll try it out here live on the radio. Also on today's program from Global Exchange, their Iraq project director, Raed Jarar, will join us. And he's got some important questions about deals that have been made about the future of Iraq, in particular the extension of the UN occupation authorization to the United States and the alleged coalition, and whether that was legally processed by the parliament in Iraq, or if it was just a unilateral decision made by Maliki, and Iraqis would think that was done under duress in Amman, Jordan, as he met with President Bush today after blowing him off for a meeting yesterday. That's all ahead, plus your phone calls. You can call at any moment and contribute to this dialogue. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372 puts you through, and we pay for the call. And you can call anytime you wish to comment or ask a question or just pipe up. And you can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Every week about this time, we check in with Faz Shakir. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report that comes out of the Center for American Progress in Washington. You can get your own copy delivered to your email free. Just log on to progressreport.org. Faz, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I guess we didn't speak last week because it was Thanksgiving, so how was your Thanksgiving?
You weren't standing by, were you?
No,
I
wasn't.
I think we failed to notify you that we were playing reruns last week.
Oh, no, I was notified.
Oh, good. But I had a fine time. It was really good, and Mom came out from Ohio to visit her boys on the West Coast, and it was just great. How about you?
I was fine. I did a lot of studying for law school exams coming up shortly, so nothing too exciting, actually. Watched a lot of football.
So are you in year three?
I am. I'm in my last semester, actually, so in December I'll be done.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And then will there be the Shakir Law Firm?
No. I'm trying to avoid private practice as much as I can. I'd like to go and work on a presidential campaign, perhaps, or stay here at the center where it's a great place to work. So I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to do.
Okay. Well, you're not too far from K Street there. There are a lot of jobs for non-Republicans these days.
It's very untempting for me right now. I have no desire to be the next Jack Abramoff.
Oh, good. Well, Faz, let's talk about the situation in Iraq, and we'll get to the Bush-Maliki conversation, but closer to your office there just yesterday, Lee Hamilton of the Iraq Study Group, that's the James Baker group that is meeting, mulling, and trying to come up with some plans that the Bush administration might actually embrace. He came by for a conversation with senior CAP fellow Tom Daschle, the former Senate Majority Leader.
Right, and the breaking news that he delivered, I guess, I'm not sure it was terribly breaking, but he said that they've now come to a decision, that's the Iraq Study Group, that they've come to a decision and that it's a unanimous decision about what they're going to recommend. And the New York Times reported this morning that they have indications, or at least a source tells them, that they're going to recommend some sort of drawdown that begins next year. And I think, you know, if that's the case, it's partly good news, but I think it's really largely a punt. And I think they could have done a lot more. They could have been a lot more forceful, certainly without any political ramifications to this decision. For them, at least, they're not elected officials or anything. I thought they could have been a lot more forceful. But we'll see what the report actually says.
Well, the whole thing is problematic. Even if you put the best face on the intentions of Baker and Hamilton and their respective members, this was something the president never wanted. Another, you know, study group or report that he didn't want. And he has now said that he's open to their ideas, and in the same breath, he always shoots down many of the possibilities likely to be suggested by the Baker Group or anybody else.
Well, he kneecapped him right out of the box. I mean, the New York Times said this morning that that the Iraq Study Group was going to propose a drawdown that begins next year, and he comes out in his press conference this morning, President Bush does, and says there will be no graceful exit from Iraq. And so he said, despite the rumors that you're hearing in Washington, D.C., it was a direct shot at the Iraq Study Group that they're going to come back and tell you, the American people, that they want to draw down. But you'll hear from me first, the commander-in-chief, that there will be no drawdown. And we're staying here until the end of my presidency, as he said before. So, he's totally dismissed them. And, of course, the White House and the Pentagon are doing their own internal reviews, which will certainly suggest what the president wants, which is that we got to stay the course, because if we leave, you know, chaos will erupt as if it's not already there.
Yeah. And this just seems so sad that there he is, you know, close to the belly of the beast. Certainly, the King of Jordan had to try to share a little reality with him in their dinner that Maliki boycotted on Wednesday night. Not a snub. No. Just didn't feel hungry. And, you know, he continues to dig those Texas boots deeper and deeper into the mud.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm not sure what to make of this leaked memo from Stephen Hadley. I think that largely it was a doing of somebody in the administration to intentionally put this out there, because it looks like the White House is being tough on Maliki. I think that was the message that the White House wanted to send, is that Maliki is really the one who's screwing this all up, and we're trying to be tough on him. So my sense was that it was not an unintentional leak, but rather an intentional one.
Well, and no one from the White House has demanded that Patrick Fitzgerald look into it, have they?
That's exactly right. And today on CNN, Wolf Blitzer asked Alberto Gonzalez, the Attorney General, directly about this and said, are you going to investigate this leak? And he said, no, we have no plans to.
No, because it was an authorized leak.
That's right. This is a good leak for them.
Well, and to that point, the Hadley memo, it does appear that that's what offended Maliki, and it's why he didn't show up for the dinner Wednesday night. But I did not get to see the joint news conference today, so perhaps you can tell our listeners what went on. From accounts I've read, the president continued to talk about some sort of victory, or at least achieving a mission, and Maliki seemed to be parroting some of the same talking points.
Yeah, they clearly are talking off the same sheet about the need to stay in Iraq. That's one of the major things that they really communicated in their press conferences, that they're working on training up the Iraqi forces. They're working on all these different reconstruction projects, which we've heard all before. There was no real breaking news except what I mentioned earlier, which was the kneecapping of the Iraq Study Group saying that, quote, there will be no graceful exit from Iraq. I just like the insertion of graceful there, you know, because I think the president just doesn't want to entertain any type of exit, whether it's graceful or ungraceful. He just doesn't want to talk about it.
Well,
that was the headline coming out.
That kind of a denial, first of all, it's great fodder for John Stewart, and I will stay up late tonight to see what he does with it. But it just kind of underscores that this guy is stubborn and arrogant and really doesn't have the ability to provide nuanced reactions or responses. He's got to take this hard black and white position, and it's increasingly biting him in his own butt.
But I tell you, one of the things that I wish that some people on the left could do a little bit better is talk about what the scenario would be if we actually did withdraw. What would happen if we pulled back a few troops? I think too many people think it would just be a disaster, that it would be more civil war, we'd leave a country in chaos. But if you look at some of the polls that are coming out of Iraqis, and worldpublicopinion.org has done some polls of Iraqis, and people can go there and check it out, but 6 in 10 Iraqis say that the situation on the ground would actually get better if U.S. troops left. And that's a concept that here in the United States just doesn't fly. But yet in Iraq, 60% of them think the situation will get better. So I think we could do a better job of explaining the fact that a withdrawal might actually be in Iraqi's best interest, and we could see perhaps a stable Iraq develop, but only if we took the American face off the occupation.
Let's take a break, and we'll talk more about this. I want to drill in a little further on the Hadley memo and some of the recommendations it made for how they can prop up Maliki, and we'll talk about some other issues related to Iraq, too. Baz Shakir is with us from the Center for American Progress, co-editor of their Daily Progress Report. Today's issue, oh, it's about Iraq. Aren't you surprised? If you have a comment or question, join us now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the best of Peter B. Collins, pre-recorded. Happy holidays from all of us at the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
12-Step Talk Uncensored is a new talk show where we speak openly about the deadly, shame-based disease of alcoholism and addictions. In this country, most of us are affected in some way. Causes and cures, genetics or willpower. Saturday, 4 to 5, with Sheila Gale, brought to you in part by Myrick Photographic in Monterey. Go to myrickphoto.com and get your holiday cards online. Saturdays at 4 with Sheila on KRXA. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Deborah Lindsay with Tomorrow Matters on KRXA 540 AM, wishing you a safe holiday season and encouraging you to make earth-friendly choices for your celebrations. Join me each Sunday at 2 to match global problems of today with local solutions for a better tomorrow. Remember, the greatest gift we can give is a healthy planet. Tomorrow Matters, right here on KRXA 540 AM, every Sunday at 2.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
And I read a portion of it yesterday, Faz, and kind of changed the names and the locations a little bit, and it sounded just like our president.
That's exactly right. I'll read you a part of it, and he says, Stephen Hadley in this leaked memo, says, the reality on the streets of Baghdad suggests Maliki is either ignorant of what is going on, misrepresenting his intentions, or that his capabilities are not yet sufficient to turn his good intentions into action.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're right. And at one point he says of Maliki that he is not getting enough counsel from outside of his closest advisors, trapped within mm-hmm. his inner circle. And, of course, when we read that, we thought it was coming from the Department of Irony, because that's, of course, the common criticism of President Bush, that he can't look beyond his inner circle for advice as well.
Mm-hmm. And then toward the end of the memo, there were these kind of positive steps that the U.S. could take to prop up the Maliki government. And some of these just seemed really bizarre.
There were a lot of, like, micro loans that we can do. We can rebuild this school here and there. And it was a lot of marginal recommendations of what they can do on the edges to make things better. But I would say that the structure, as you've outlaid it, is another reason why I don't think that it was an unintentional leak, but rather an intentional leak. Because if you read this, it will look like Hadley was basically writing an op-ed, you know, to be published somewhere. And he talked about what the diagnosis was on the ground, what are some of the problems, and he listed them out. And then he said, what are our solutions, and he listed those out. So really, it was just a good advertisement for the administration.
Mm-hmm. Now, Faz, later today we have a guest on the program, Raed Harar, or Jarar, from Global Exchange, and he's going to raise some questions about the legality of the occupation itself. And the United Nations this week, in a surprise and rather quick move, renewed the occupation authority given to the so-called coalition that we all know is driven by the United States. And the questions that come up really are twofold for me. One is, did Maliki have the authority to accept this extension? There are members of the Iraqi parliament who thought they were going to be consulted on this. And does the United States still have a legal basis to keep troops in Iraq? After all, you don't have to take my word or answer my questions about it. It's Senator John Warner who has raised the issue that now that it's a civil war, this doesn't match the authorization for use of military force that was passed in October of 2002.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. He said that just a few months ago, Senator John Warner did. And when he said it, he said, hypothetically, if we enter a civil war, then we'd have to reassess whether we need another congressional authorization to remain there and whether we actually want to keep troops there and what our purpose is, whose side do we take, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's one of the reasons, and a lot of media is talking about this, I think that's one of the reasons why President Bush doesn't want to come out and explicitly state that it is a civil war, because on the one hand, you could see why he'd want to do it. He'd say, well, the situation is so dire that we do need to stay. But the second he did it, I think you'd see Congress jump to action and say, well, that now allows us to take charge. And, of course, John Warner will no longer be the chairman. It'll be Carl Levin who will be the chairman. And I'm sure that he agrees largely with what Warner said. So, yeah, that's definitely right.
Now, what about on the Iraqi side? Did Maliki engineer this without proper approval?
You know, I think I don't know enough about it. I think I have to leave it to your guest. He seems like much more of an expert, but we know that Maliki is a puppet master, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's clearly the one. He doesn't make decisions by himself. We know that the operations in Baghdad, for instance, a lot of them that are going on are just being dictated to Maliki by the coalition authority. They're just saying, we're going to go in here and raid this place and bomb that place, and we've never heard Maliki authorize any of these. You know, the other day, another big announcement came out was that President Bush is authorizing another few thousand troops to go into Baghdad, so another surge of troop levels in Baghdad. Did Maliki okay this? No, of course not.
Mm-hmm. What do you hear, anything further on the ABC News report about 48 hours ago that the U.S. is prepared to toss it in and give up on Anbar province, transfer about 30,000 U.S. troops to try to control Baghdad?
Right. This Anbar province has been an issue for like over a year, ever since the administration decided to do its Baghdad strategy, which was just focus on securing Baghdad. They had to find troops from somewhere, and so they tried to pull them in from all around the country, including Anbar, and when that happened, Anbar just went to hell. And so now the Marines have been saying for a long time that we no longer have any control there, and to explain the concept of a civil war, I think, is too simple. I think to understand what is actually going on in Iraq, I think there are four different conflicts going on. One is this Baghdad struggle. Another one is the Shia on Shia violence in the south. This is Muqtada al-Sadr's people versus all the other clans. Then you have the Anbar province in the west. That's a third. And then you have the Kurds fighting Arabs in the north. So I mean, there's a whole range of chaos going on there.
Yeah. That's very well put, and I'm glad you described it that way, because the president still seems to think it's all Al-Qaeda's fault, and it's these terrorists that just won't let go of him. One more point here, Faz, before I permit you to make a graceful exit. Democratic leaders seek special Iraq envoy. Jack Reed, the senator from Rhode Island, yesterday made a proposal that Bush name a special envoy. Now, first of all, I commend the Democrats for coming up with an interesting proposal here that wouldn't necessarily poke the president in the eye, but might help move things forward. What do you make of this?
I'm a little skeptical. I think that it's a good proposal, like you said. I think it's a good move for the Democrats to try to find somebody that they can work with within the administration, you know, and say, okay, well, here's the official envoy, and if we can't work with Bush, let's work with this guy. But as we know, the special envoys have a history of not being able to accomplish much, because it's about the president's authority ultimately, and if the president's not invested in it, then the special envoy can't do anything that the president won't allow him to.
Yeah, that's a good point. I just think the Democrats are trying to look active at a point where they haven't yet taken power. And I hear from restless progressives every day who think that the Democrats should have fixed everything by now. So I think it's an interesting step to take here during this lame duck period.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you.
All right, Fez. Well, thank you for joining us today. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, thanks, Peter.
Time for your graceful exit. There he goes. Fez Shakir, gracefully. Oh, a pirouette. Oh, a double axel. Oh, my God. Coming up next, Bo Grosskopf, a professor of international relations at CSU Chico, will join us right here on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Matt Renner. Visit our website, peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Monterey Peninsula College Holiday Jewelry Sale is here, starting Tuesday, December 5th through the 7th. It's your chance to buy gorgeous, one-of-a-kind silver and metal jewelry pieces, plus fabulous metal art, also handmade ceramics, over 20 of our most talented artists, with affordable, delicious jewelry. This sale is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, December 5th, 6th, and 7th. Open all day till 7 p.m. at Monterey Peninsula College, 980 Fremont in Monterey. Follow the signs for parking. Don't miss it.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The holiday season is here again, and what perfect time to take advantage of the great selection and low prices of the finest used cars in the county. At ZNS Auto Dealership in Monterey, they've been partners for over 30 years. Located at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard, ZNS wants to be your partner in choosing that right car for you or your loved one. ZNS has it, whether it's a truck, SUV, minivan, compact, or luxury automobile. Open every day on Del Monte Boulevard, Monterey. ZNS Auto, where partnership works.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium. Or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
They don't have a trace of the pilot, and they're searching for it.
We get more on this story from the author of a new book that I haven't seen yet, Strategic Terror, the Politics and Ethics of Aerial Bombardment. It's written by Bo Grosskopf, who is professor of international relations at CSU, the California State University in Chico. Professor, nice to talk to you here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Nice to talk to you, Peter.
How's it going?
Going well.
You're raising some very interesting questions, not just about this particular crash or shoot down. The details are still, as I said, a little murky, but about the use of air power in general in occupied Iraq. Tell us a little more about your thinking.
Well, the reason for me that this story is important is that it breaks the silence that has enveloped media coverage and administration pronouncements about the continuing use of air power. From the very beginning, we know that air power was the weapon of choice. That's what was called the strategy of shock and awe. And shock and awe theory is just a reformulation of what's called strategic bombing theory, which holds that if you bomb civilian populations, since you're bombing basically women and children, they don't have the will to resist, and they will eventually force the government to resign. What we saw Israel doing in Lebanon this summer is nothing more than shock and awe. Mm-hmm. And, of course, all of this has been either not covered, made invisible by media coverage and Pentagon pronouncements and administration pronouncements, or shock and awe has become a phrase of jocularity. But strategic bombing, use of air power, is very serious business. It's very dirty business for people on the ground.
Well, and while we like to talk about precision bombing, laser-guided aerial weapons, the sorry truth is that it's not a precise process. There's a lot of collateral damage. And in an occupation, it seems to be, the weapon of last resort. Yet we seem to be using it as something more than that.
Well, we're using it as a weapon of first resort, primarily, as you say, because it's presented as clean war. Well, as I said, it's very clean to the people who are bombing from 30,000, 15,000 feet. It's very dirty, as we saw in Lebanon, to the people on the ground. Of course, we haven't been allowed to see that in the Iraqi or Afghan case, even though studies have demonstrated that the bombing of, for example, Afghanistan, the first 10 weeks of that campaign caused more deaths, about twice as many deaths, civilian deaths, as happened on 9/11. And the study that came out in 2004 by the John Hopkins Group shows that 110,000 civilians had died by that time, 79% of them through the bombing. So it's dirty business. The fact is that the proponents of air power try to have it both ways. As you say, they present the idea that it is precision bombing, though they never define precision for us, and that they are trying through their bombing to minimize civilian casualties. Again, they never define what they mean by minimal.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we find that time and time again, civilian targets are bombed. The rationale for that, the explanation for that is, oh, there are mistakes made. Well, if there are mistakes made or if it's not accurate, then how can you talk about precision? And secondly, if it is precise and you're bombing, as in the case of Fallujah, for example, or in the case of bombing Baghdad initially, you're bombing suburban neighborhoods, you're bombing shopping malls, you're bombing health facilities and hospitals, then if it is so precise, then obviously you're purposely bombing those with precision weaponry. That's what we call terrorism.
Professor, I want to refer here to a news article from the New York Times, Friday, November 17th, so about 2 weeks ago. And I'll get to the data here in just a moment that I think is fascinating. But one of the points they make echoes what you just said. In Afghanistan, the increased use of air power has also come at a cost in casualties among allied forces and civilians. In September, an American A-10 attack on attack jet mistakenly opened fire on Canadian troops southwest of Kandahar, killing one and wounding dozens more. Now, that is a lift from a story whose main focus is the sharp increase in the use of air power in Afghanistan in 2006. For example, in October, there were more than 400, just under 400 air sorties over Afghanistan. In September, it was over 700, between 475 and 500 in August. And July was in the range of 275. Now, if this graph can be believed, the actual number of air sorties in Iraq is far lower. In each of those months I just cited where it was in the hundreds in Afghanistan, it was below 100 in Iraq. Is this a credible report?
Yes, it's probably credible. We do know that because there are not, to quote, boots on the ground, as many boots on the ground in Afghanistan, and the resurgence of the Taliban is widespread over a large geographical area, that air power is conceded to be the way that you can conduct either bombing runs to get targets themselves or support whatever troops are there. And increasingly, air power, because it, again, doesn't put the pilots in that much jeopardy. I mean, we won, allegedly won the war over Afghanistan, and all of a sudden you have a lot of, you require a lot of, no more troops, and then you require, out of troops comes casualties. Obviously, that's a politically inconvenient thing for an administration who's not only trying to say things were improving in Iraq, but in fact the war was won in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm. Professor, any indication that we're using cluster bombs in either Iraq or Afghanistan? We know that Israel has been accused of using them in its assault on Lebanon and Hezbollah this past summer.
That's been well documented in both cases. In fact, Iraq is still trying to recover from the use of cluster bombs in the Persian Gulf crisis, Persian Gulf War I.
And are we still using cluster bombs? Do you know?
Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. And what about the use of white phosphorus as an illuminator for air raids? Is that still active?
Well, I don't know whether it's active or not. Of course, they got caught by using it in Fallujah, and they first denied that they were using it, and then, of course, then they try to say that, as you reported, that they are trying to use it not as a weapon of war, but as an illuminator. But eyewitness accounts, health report accounts from the Iraqi Health Ministry and other people, including this John Hopkins group, documented that indeed people were suffering from symptoms that very much were akin to the use of white phosphorus.
Well, and our own troops described a technique called shake and bake.
Yes.
Where they used white phosphorus not simply to light up the sky and identify a battle scene, but as a weapon, as a chemical weapon, a WMD, if you will.
Yeah, the fact that the Pentagon has used as a defense of using the weapon that it's not a violation of the Geneva Conventions tells us that they've had to move from, you know, absolute denial that anything was being used to a defense that says, oh, well, we're using it, but it doesn't violate the Geneva Conventions.
Mm-hmm. Professor Grosskopf, I'm very concerned about the use of depleted uranium munitions in Iraq and the legacy that will create. Do you have any indication that we have dialed back from the use of DU munitions?
I don't know specifically, but my guess would be that we have not. The Pentagon, of course, still refuses to say there's any link between the Gulf War syndrome and the use of DU, despite European admonitions that there is a strong connection, or evidence that there is a strong connection, to the point where the Italians absolutely are horrified by such a connection. But we know that U.S. soldiers, personnel are coming back already with the same kind of symptoms that were exhibited in the Persian Gulf One, which lots of researchers say is accounted for by the use of DU weaponry. It is a weapon of choice, according to the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
Because their assumption is that it doesn't have the kind of effects that the scientists or the researchers claim it does.
That's shocking, because Anthony LaPay of the Guerrilla News Network shot a video in Iraq 2 years ago, and they went around with Geiger counters and examined the background radiation levels in abandoned American vehicles, tanks, weaponry, and in certain sites. And they found in some cases levels of radiation at 900% of what humans can tolerate.
Well, of course, you have to remember, Peter, that in Vietnam, for example, the Pentagon has its own scientists. And so in terms of the disasters known as rainbow agents, with the most famous one being Agent Orange, they claim for a long time that they're scientists. Said there was no danger to human life in terms of these agents, and the same thing is going on here. You know, obviously the Pentagon has a real financial stake, as well as I guess one would call it political stake or patriot stake, in making sure that people going over there don't think they're being put in harm's way by their own people.
Mm-hmm.
And financially, you know, the number of suits and the number of medical, you know, the amount of medical expenses that, if indeed they admitted to a link, would be horrendous in terms of their budget.
Yeah. Professor, to the extent you can, I'd like to try to sort through the facts of this F-16 incident. I have a story attributed to the Washington Post that was published in the San Francisco Chronicle today that reads, U.S. officials said Wednesday they are trying to determine if human remains found at the crash site of this F-16 20 miles northwest of Baghdad are those of the plane's pilot, who has been identified as Major Troy Gilbert, who had been deployed from Luke Air Force Base in Arizona, but the military has provided no other details. The plane crashed in Anbar province this past Monday as he flew low to the ground in support of ground troops fighting insurgents. It says it took hours for U.S. troops to arrive at the crash site, and by the time they did, Gilbert was gone. Now, the article here does cite television networks reported that they had video footage of the dead pilot. I think they're referring, without naming it, to Al Jazeera. And as I understand, Al Jazeera declined to show the footage because it was too grisly. How can the U.S. be searching for the pilot when Al Jazeera has a photograph of him in, you know, a lifeless mode?
Well, obviously, the answer is, Peter, from my perspective, is that, as we know, the administration is trying now with the English language, Al Jazeera, trying to demonstrate that this network is absolutely biased, has no credibility in terms of their level of investigation and professionalism, and therefore this makes a lot of sense in that regard.
Well, I imagine the truth will come out ultimately. The other inconsistency is that Al Jazeera said the photographs they had showed that a parachute had at least been partially deployed, and the U.S. says that it appeared that the pilot had not ejected from the plane. So it's curious. I'll just offer this, and maybe you happen to see it. This goes back to 2004 during the first assault on Fallujah, when the U.S. was being accused of using airstrikes and claimed that it was not. And this was live on CNN. Aaron Brown was still the anchor before he got deposed by Anderson Cooper. And Aaron Brown was interviewing an American general in Qatar who flatly declared that the U.S. was not bombing in Fallujah. And then they added the pictures in the background live from Al Jazeera that showed bombing raids underway in Fallujah at that moment. The general then denied again that it was going on, and Aaron Brown said, thank you very much, we'll take a break.
Well, again, you know, Peter, for me, I can explain that in terms of the, you know, maintaining the invisibility of the air war, because anybody who examines or investigates the air war and the results of the air war, the devastation caused by the air war, cannot dismiss that devastation to civilian life. And, of course, that simply forces people to the conclusion that in fighting the war on terrorism, we're fighting a war of terrorism. And, of course, nobody wants to go there. That's the most politically incorrect thing one can do, which is to say that your nation doesn't have the moral side in the victory, the moral in terms of the war on terrorism.
Bo Grosskopf is with us, professor of international relations at California State University, Chico, and also the author of a new book, Strategic Terror, The Politics and Ethics of Aerial Bombardment. If you got a question or comment, call us now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the best of Peter B. Collins, pre-recorded. Happy holidays from all of us at the Peter B. Collins Show. Politicians may come and go, but for the past 33 years, Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey. Technically proficient, Dr. Turner specializes in listening to every patient's concerns and feelings. And because Dr. Turner cares about you, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112, 831-375-1112, 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner, 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
The line there reads, the F-15 is a homicide bomber. As I mentioned, Professor Groskopf has a new book out called Strategic Terror, The Politics and Ethics of Aerial Bombardment. Where can we find that? Is it out now?
It is out now. It came out in September. Yes, it's fresh on the shelf.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk with you, and if you can have your people get to my people and get us a copy of the book, I'll be happy to take a look at it and invite you back to talk about what I learned from it.
I'll be delighted to do that.
Excellent. Give us a quick thesis of the book.
Well, Well, it has two things I try to do in the book. One is to encourage people to understand that this euphemism of shock and awe is very deadly business, and that it is simply a reformulation, as I said earlier, of a strategy that asks the question, can air power win war? And the answer by the strategic bombing enthusiasts is yes, basically by bombing civilians, understanding that civilians are women and children, and they simply don't have the will to resist as the warrior class does, so they will quickly lose that will to resist and force the government to sue for peace. This is a theory that was developed after World War I with the confluence of the disappointment about and frustration about trench warfare as defensive and feminized war, and something manly men don't fight, and then, of course, the advent of the age of aviation. So, for example, Billy Mitchell, our godfather of our Air Force, is one of the what they call the four prophets that put together this theory. The other is to talk about how the bombing nations, as I call them, have been able to successfully rationalize, set up a whole rationalization scheme by which they can rationalize their bombing of civilians and civilian targets as not terrorism, and have convinced many, many people, particularly in our own country, that, as you noted before, that, it's clean, it's precise.
Yeah, we've sanitized it to the level of a video game.
Absolutely. And even our language, by the way, I heard you use the concept collateral damage, which everybody sort of accepts, which, mm-hmm. Of course, what does that do? It simply objectifies the victims on the ground. Oh, they're just collateral damage.
Right.
By the way, the new terminology, as I talk about in my book, is not collateral damage. It's regrettable byproducts of the war on terrorism.
Oh, my.
And
do they have a euphemist, an actual euphemist in the White House?
Absolutely. But, absolutely. What this does is objectify, and so it doesn't really matter because, there's all kinds of racism and sexism that goes along with this rationalization scheme. And, can you imagine, Peter, if anybody suggested or used the term collateral damage, let alone attributed regrettable byproducts of the war on terror about the 9/11 victims or Israeli victims and Hezbollah bombing? Could you imagine the outrage about that in the Western community?
Oh, I can hear it.
We do it on a daily basis in this society, and the media just absolutely loves this terminology.
Let's take a call. John in Carmel Valley, join us. Peter B. and Professor Grosskopf.
I want to thank you, Peter, for having this guest from Chico State. I think you both heard over and over that expression, Iraqis aren't counted because Iraqis don't count. Because they don't. Not because I think they don't, but and I know the listeners wouldn't feel that way either, most of them, but we're conducting a war on that basis. Tom Hartman this morning, he has said this before, but he said it especially ably this morning. He said, these are people, and he meant the Iraqis, who want to live, who don't want to die any more than we do, and yet by our actions there, whether we intend it or not, we're killing them in unthinkable numbers, or they're just getting caught up in one thing or another in this terrible conflict. And he was using this, and I now have arrived at this myself. He said, essentially he was saying, this president needs to be impeached for this problem alone, let alone countless other reasons.
Professor, give us a quick reaction. We've got about 30 seconds before the break.
Well, I think your caller is absolutely right, and I'm glad that he's bothered by these statistics and by these actions, because what he's doing is he's trying to break through this this rationalization scheme, this labor for rationalizations, and beginning to understand that, whether legally you can make a case. Some people think you can. In fact, there's a new book out, I hear, that's trying to make this legal case against impeaching President Bush.
Right, that's Elizabeth de la Vega.
Yeah, and not in terms of impeaching him, but in terms of bringing him before the criminal court.
Right. Or at least building a case there.
Building a case.
Professor, I'm sorry we're out of time, but I do look forward to talking to you in the future. We'll get a copy of your book and have you back on the program.
Thank you, Peter. It's been a delight.
Professor Bo Grosskopf from California State University, Chico. Coming up next, Mother Jones, Iraq Time.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
An Iraqi appeals court upholds the execution of the former dictator.
Even Saddam's lawyers admit it's over.
Find yourself at the mall again?
Excellent deal. I mean, great prices, half off.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Cammy McCormick. His trial was often disrupted by his outbursts and accusations that the court is being run by Americans.
Down with the invaders. Go to hell, you and the court.
Now the speed with which an Iraqi appeals court upheld Saddam Hussein's verdict and death sentence may raise further questions. Just 3 weeks it took the judges. Michael Scharf is an advisor to the tribunal.
The factual findings are extremely detailed. And so I'm not surprised at all that this was an easy case for the appeals chamber. But again, the speed at which they made their decision raises these kinds of alarm bells about the potential of political interference.
For more on where things go from here, CBS News correspondent Randall Pinkston.
Today, Iraq's fledgling democracy guaranteed that a hangman's noose will close tight around Saddam Hussein's neck. For Iraq's prime minister, it's exactly what he wanted when he demanded that the former dictator get everything he deserved for what he did to the Iraqi people during his 24-year regime. In the Iraqi legal process, this is the end of the road. The Iraqi appeals court judge said the execution can be carried out at any point over the next 30 days, and no one can pardon him. He was convicted for his role in the Dujail executions. In 1982, he signed death warrants for 148 Shiites after a failed assassination attempt.
Saddam is also on trial for a crackdown on the Kurds. Now this. Okay, team, let's get started.
Now exiting for Hazelnut Serenity.
Introducing Splenda flavor blends for coffee in hazelnut, French vanilla, and mocha. They add delicious flavor that takes you someplace else.
Ah, a yoga retreat with no pie charts. Assume the lotus position and sip. Breathe in tantalizing hazelnut.
Oh, Margo.
What? Yeah, it's totally zen.
New Splenda flavor blends for coffee. Visit them at hazelnutflavorblends.com. Find them in the coffee aisle.
I've got a cough that won't quit.
That's why Robitussin DM is my Robitussin.
My chest is all congested, so Robitussin Chest Congestion is my Robitussin.
My cold came with a cough, and my head is stuffed up too. That's why Robitussin CF is my Robitussin.
Robitussin has formulas for coughs, for colds, for congestion, and for flu. So no matter what you've got, there's Robitussin Relief with your name on it. Use as directed.
It was a bloody day in Baghdad. A string of car bombings and other attacks killed both U.S. troops and Iraqi civilians. The December death toll among U.S. forces is 90. In Crawford, Texas, the president will be going over plans for Iraq. Correspondent Mark Noller is traveling with the president.
President Bush meets Thursday at his ranch with members of his National Security Council, including Vice President Cheney and the Secretaries of State and Defense. Among the options known to be under consideration is a plan to increase the number of U.S. forces in Iraq as a way of quelling the surge in sectarian violence. Mr. Bush will unveil the new strategy in a speech next month, though no date has yet been announced.
Democratic Senator Joseph Biden, the candidate for president, is a vocal critic of any increase in troop levels.
The Delaware Democrat flatly says a troop surge won't work.
I want to make it clear, I totally oppose the surging of additional
American troops into Baghdad.
In a conference call with reporters in which he confirmed he intends to run for the Democratic nomination for president, Biden said what's needed is a political solution with the help of Iraq's neighbors.
We've already broken Iraq. We're about to break the United States military.
Biden says he plans a series of hearings on Iraq next month when he takes over as chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates has reportedly signed orders to send the 82nd Airborne 2nd Brigade to Kuwait soon, which could be part of a short-term surge in troops. The day after Christmas, a day to snap up the bargains. Even the usually not-so-retail-minded stood in line for the deals.
I want to be the first one in here and the first one out of here.
For the more serious shopper, the bargains were worthy of an all-day shopping spree.
The shoes were $59. They were on sale for $29. A $10 gift card from Carson's. Someone gave me a gift card for $15. I paid $6.14 for these $59 shoes.
The 2006 pre-Christmas season falling short of expectations. Many retailers slashed prices even more than they'd planned. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
I hear you got a new car.
Yeah, I got it for a good price.
What kind is it?
Dunno.
What color?
No idea.
Four-door or two-door?
Haven't a clue. But hey, I got it for a good price.
Buying a car on price alone doesn't make much sense, so why buy car insurance that way? At Progressive Direct, we provide rates from other top companies plus 20 facts and figures, so you can compare on more than just price. Visit Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations.
Seasons may come and go, but my allergies are here to stay. That's why I'm Claritin Clear. Claritin relieves my outdoor allergies, and I discovered it relieves my indoor allergies too. Whether it's dust, mold, or even my dog Rex, Claritin clears the way, relieving my worst indoor allergy symptoms. Only non-drowsy Claritin is proven to make me alert and focused so I can think more clearly. Because when I'm alert, I'm at my best. 24-hour non-drowsy Claritin. Live Claritin Clear, indoors and out.
Use as directed. Only brand clinically tested.
Oh, gosh. I was having so much fun with my machine here.
We got a vacuum cleaner on sale. Oh, I'm so sorry, but we're out of that model. But I can probably get you out the door for $200 billion, more or less, probably more. With a model we call preemptive war that leaves your floor dirtier than before.
If it's possible to laugh about a war, Roy Zimmerman is the enabler. That's his tune, called The War on Terror. And we're focusing on the situation in Iraq today. We started off our program with Faz Shakir talking about the meeting in Jordan with Bush and Maliki. And Professor Grosskopf was talking with us about the use of air power in Iraq. Coming up later this hour, we're going to talk with a fellow from Global Exchange who runs their Iraq project, Raed Jarar. And he's going to raise some interesting questions about the legality of the extension of the occupation authorization by the United Nations this week. Joining us this half hour is Jonathan Steiner, who works at Mother Jones Magazine and has been part of the team that has been feverishly working, and he'll tell us how long, to compile an excellent interactive timeline database that you can access at motherjones.com. Jonathan, welcome to our program today.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Great. Nice to talk with you. How long did you and your team work to build this baby?
Well, we've probably been on work on this thing since January or February of this year. It was an idea for a issue of the magazine early in the year. It kept getting pushed back, and as a result, it kept growing and growing and growing until it became this mammoth thing that we decided we would have to show in its full glory online, because no magazine on this earth could possibly hold it. And it has been a group effort by basically everyone here at Mother Jones.
Have any idea how many terabytes or how many different entries you've compiled here?
Hundreds. When this is done, and there's portions of this thing that have not yet seen daylight, I would suspect be over 1,000.
Wow. And what was the purpose, the editorial purpose? What did you want to make available to us, the end user?
We wanted this to be a resource for journalists, for researchers, and for private citizens, not only in the present day, but into the future. We wanted this to be something that people could look to if they wanted to look up a particular fact, or they wanted to see one particular subplot of this 5 or 6 year period that we're looking at here. It's not supposed to be just something that disproves the case for war. It's not supposed to be something that indicts President Bush before the 2006 or 2008 elections. It's supposed to be something that people can go to for years and years for ammunition and arguments, for writing papers, for doing good journalism.
Mm-hmm. And the title, at least the original title, was not subtle. Lie by Lie, The Mother Jones Iraq War Timeline. Now, I'm not the least bit offended by the term lie, but it's still something that some people are sensitive about. They think the president just got phony intelligence, just was too eager to go to war. But that's really just spin.
It is, and here's why. If you look at the major intelligence streams, if you look at the, and by that I mean if you look at the major facts, subplots, these sorts of things that the Bush administration used to make the case to war, every single one of them was disproved very, very early in the process. And you could make the argument that perhaps President Bush is so naive and so disconnected from his advisors that he was not aware that the intelligence of this character named Curveball wasn't reliable. But to argue that George W. Bush didn't know that every single aspect of his case for war was seriously doubted by his own intelligence agencies or the intelligence agencies of other countries or by the UN is preposterous. And in the end, we're not here to highlight individual lies, though we do that, but to provide a chronicle of a 5, let's say 6 year period in which we were took to war as a country under false pretenses and with disastrous results.
Yeah. Well, and this may not have been your intention, but as I look at this and I see the work of people like John Nichols of The Nation, who's written a book about impeachment, Elizabeth de la Vega, who's mm-hmm. just published a book that is essentially the legal case for impeachment or other accountability processes that could be applied to this president and this administration, what you have here is an interactive database that could help either members of the average public or perhaps people who are charged with investigating or prosecuting these official misdeeds. This is going to be a very valuable way. For example, those who are fighting for the truth about 9/11 have found one of the greatest resources is the timeline. Michael Rupert, I think, is the guy who put it together.
Mm-hmm.
But it helps identify the various accounts linked to the exact time that events occurred, and you can see discrepancies that surface there, even without buying into even a single conspiracy theory.
Right, yeah, absolutely. And I should point out that everything here in the timeline is rigorously sourced. These aren't just the ramblings of, you know, a hyper-liberal organization as we're from time to time branded. Everything in the web timeline has hot links, sometimes multiple hot links. And if you click on them, you can see that we source everything that is written in the timeline to books written by America's top journalists and news accounts written by America's top journalists, at other times reports, internal military reports, and all sorts of very, very reliable sources.
Jonathan, do you offer tech support?
Absolutely.
Well,
Peter.
Good. I'd like you to walk us through this. And first, if you're driving, don't attempt this. But we have listeners who have access to handheld devices like a BlackBerry or a Trio. We have listeners who are at work or otherwise in front of a computer screen. So if you'd like to follow along with us, go to motherjones.com. And on the homepage, there is a box on the left that says Iraq War Timeline, Lie by Lie. You click on that, and it does take a minute or two to load because this is a massive database. And what you then end up with is a screen that I'm looking at right now. And we have selected November of 2002 as a point where we're just going to dive into the timeline, and Jonathan's going to tell us how to operate and you know, delve into the data that's been collected here. So, Jonathan, before we went on the air, while I was fiddling with the music there and late for the cue, we decided that we're going to talk about Al Libby, and this isn't Scooter Libby. This is Ibn al-Sheikh al-Libby, a senior al-Qaeda official in charge of of the network's training camps in Afghanistan. And he was captured in Pakistan in November of 2002, correct?
It's 2001, but yeah, you're absolutely right.
Okay. Did I select the wrong year?
No, I think...
Okay, we're in the right place. We're in 2001, not 2002.
Right.
I misspoke.
Yeah, so to use our neat flash timeline here, you want to use the scroll bar on the left side to scroll up to the 2001 section, mm-hmm. then click on the rectangle for November,
right.
And then November pops up, a series of entries, all of which occurred in November of 2001. Now, mm-hmm. on November 11th, 2001, Ibn al-Sheikh al-Libi, a senior al-Qaeda official who ran training camps in Afghanistan, was captured in Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the beginning of a long saga that contributed to one of the major lies is a strong way to put it, but problematic streams of intelligence reporting that ran throughout the case for war. Now, if you go to November 2001, there's a picture of al-Libi.
It's a pretty one, too. A really nice mugshot of a guy who appears to have been beaten.
Yeah, well, when we bring in those terrorists, we don't treat them with kid gloves. So, yes, he's got some bruises, mm-hmm. and he's a bit unshaven.
Right.
But if you notice in the entry, there are icons and
right.
Word tags here at mm-hmm. the bottom, and those are ways to sort the timeline because it's such a huge amount of information that it would
right.
be hard to scroll through all of it.
So let's click on torture here under this entry of al-Libi,
mm-hmm.
and now a new window has appeared, so I haven't lost that original one. I prefer that to, you know, having to jump in the same screen.
Yep.
And then it gives us tags here. And it talks about torture practices, John Yoo's memo in September of 2001, and then we have an item here, November 11, 2001, about al-Libi. And so I'm going to click on this, and will this tell me how he was tortured?
Well, November 11, 2001 will take you to the same entry that we just looked at. But
okay.
If you look at the one directly below it, for example, it is another al-Libi entry, but of course al-Libi was tortured. So both of these entries are tagged with torture and al-Libi, the word al-Libi. So you look on early January 2002, you'll see that when al-Libi was brought into custody, there was a huge battle between the CIA and the FBI. And the FBI, who does its intelligence gathering with court practices in mind, that is to say that they realize that someday they may have to get an indictment and they have to may take what the intelligence they gather to a court of law and thus follow certain predetermined rules, whereas the CIA is under no such constraints. The CIA won that battle, which may be why Mr. al-Libi looks so beaten in the mugshot that we looked at earlier, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
He's waterboarded. He doesn't give in to lighter interrogation, so he's treated to the American Torture Special. He's waterboarded. And the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, immediately expresses concerns that maybe al-Libi is just telling his questioners what they want to hear in order to get, presumably, the waterboarding to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, that information that al-Libi gave them, specifically that Iraq supplied al-Qaeda with chemical and biological weapons training, is transported to the top decks. It's sent right up to the people in charge, top policymakers in the Pentagon and the White House. That's called stovepiping,
mm-hmm.
And it's become something of a buzzword nowadays, many thanks to Seymour Hersh, who has done the best reporting on it in The New Yorker. So that information stuck around, even though the DIA had its doubts, and later on in the process, everything al-Libi says will be retracted, because al-Libi will admit that he basically lied under torture,
mm-hmm.
the CIA will come to agree with him, and the CIA will say, you know what, none of this was reliable, we made a mistake, as is often the case with information gained under torture, and if you, I can show you, Peter.
Well, let me take a break now, and
sure.
We'll return, and you can show me then. We're talking with Jonathan Steiner from Mother Jones Magazine. Log on to MotherJones.com and click on Iraq War Timeline, Lie by Lie. That's where we are. And we'll continue in just a moment. We'll take your phone calls, too, at 888-5-PETER-B. I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the best of Peter B. Collins, pre-recorded. Happy holidays from all of us at the Peter B. Collins Show.
just arrived. It's Carmel, a treasure, a first, a combination calendar history book with souvenir maps archiving Carmel today. Entirely rendered in watercolors by Lisa Bryan. Stories, illustrations of local businesses, dogs, and a brief history of Carmel's first Bohemians, including today's places and characters of note. This brilliant calendar and book combo captures the charm of Carmel, a special gift, now available at Lisa's studio in Court of the Fountains and other bookstores and gift shops in Carmel.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Let's take a look at your drive home in and around the Monterey Bay area. This first look is brought to you by Robitussin. Robitussin with formulas for cough, colds, congestion, and flu. No matter what you've got, there's a Robitussin relief with your name on it. Well, a little wet weather causing some problems. Let's go off the freeway systems for a second in SoCal. SoCal San Jose Road, actually, just north of Olson Road, a minor injury crash here. It's an overturned vehicle, so lucky the injuries were only minor. It has been uprighted, but still some slow traffic. In Santa Cruz County, southbound Highway 1 at Buena Vista Drive, there's a ladder between lanes of traffic, so folks are swerving around that. Also taking a look at the Live Oak area, Soquel Drive and Paul Sweet Road. An injury accident here. Emergency crews are on the way. They have not yet arrived on the scene. And southbound 101 still slow, leaving Silicon Valley a little heavy from Highway 85 to Coyote Creek Golf Drive. What concerns me is the slow traffic now through Gilroy, Prunedale, and Salinas. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
Spoke a few minutes ago, Jonathan Stein from Mother Jones Magazine, and we're taking a look online at this very powerful interactive database that produces a timeline of the events leading up to and since our invasion of Iraq. And Jonathan, this is really powerful stuff. And the interactivity here just reminds me, I'm working through a book right now by Peter Lance called Triple Cross. And in it, there is a detailed timeline of the events from about 1988 forward related to Al-Qaeda, the attacks, the first attack on the World Trade Center in 93. And it's an excellent job. It forms the centerfold of his book. But
it's a little disappointing because I can't click on it. And I can't drill down and say, okay, what's the source of that? Or what's the implication of a specific piece of data that's presented? So I think really this is rich, and it's very easy to navigate. I've gotten very comfortable with it very quickly here. Let's take another example here. We've arbitrarily selected April of 2003, and I'm looking at that famous posed photograph of the toppling of the Saddam statue.
That's right. The invasion of Iraq occurred in March 20th, 2003. Things go well for a little while. We are rolling around Baghdad. We're rolling around Iraq. We're not meeting a lot of resistance. Things are going well. Looks like it might be the first Gulf War all over again. And then on April 9th, we roll into Baghdad. We liberate the capital city. We pull down the statues of Saddam Hussein. And it looks like things are going to go great. And instead, it's the first indication that things are going to go south. Looting breaks out everywhere. The United States forces protect only Baghdad's airport and the oil ministry. And as you can see on the timeline here, Peter, in this section for April 9th, 2003, 17 other ministries are destroyed, 14,000 artifacts are stolen from the Iraqi National Museum, and 341 tons of high explosives are stolen from an armory that is left unguarded.
That's Al-Qaqa, and that's something that didn't surface for, at least a year?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. But if you click on the hot link we have here in the timeline, it will take you to the source of that information, which happens to be a New York Times story. And so, as I said earlier before the break, everything here is sourced. Mm-hmm. If you move 2 days later on the timeline, it takes you to April 11th, 2003, which is when we liberated the city of Mosul, which repeated the pattern that had been established with Baghdad. Looting immediately breaks out. And this is one of my favorite entries in the timeline, I guess, out of black humor, because it's really it's a horrible, horrible thing. When U.S. and Kurdish forces take Mosul, there's no security established anywhere. And the city, as it says here in the timeline, immediately descends into chaos. There's shootings, there's arson, there's looting. They bust open a central bank, and people are just grabbing money by the fistful in the city. People are fighting over cash. People are stealing ambulances from hospitals. People are stealing rare manuscripts and artifacts out of libraries and museums. It's just chaos. And this was the first sign that we got that the Bush administration had no plan in place to keep the peace. They had a plan to win the war. They had a plan to take Baghdad and to conquer Iraq, and nobody seemed to realize that that's not the hard part. The hard part is going into a country, a foreign country with foreign customs and foreign people, basically, and telling them, you know, here, you've never run your own government before, but we're going to help you create a civil society. That's difficult, and it was largely ignored.
And that led you to use the tag Quagmire for this particular story. Mm-hmm. And again, when we click on the Quagmire tag, we can then look at similar events that are tagged similarly. Is that right?
This is one of the richest parts of the Mother Jones timeline, and will only get richer as we add things further on down the line. But yes, everything that relates to the bumbling of the OHRA, which is the first Reconstruction Authority in Baghdad, which was soon replaced by the CPA, Jerry Bremer's CPA, and continued bumbling. No surprise.
And do your references to Paul Bremer indicate that he was on loan from Kissinger and Associates? Because that's one of the best-kept secrets in the mainstream media.
It should be in here. In fact, we can test that.
All right. You look for that, and I'm going to pull up Dave from Humboldt, who wants to join us. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Peter. Jonathan, I am wondering if your wonderful magazine can look at the evidence that you have found yourself, lie after lie, to bring about this end. That means it's no sense blundering. That's a very willful act, trying to get us in there. So can your magazine go to the logical conclusion of the extreme criminality of this administration?
Well, I think the data are here. I think that you're trying to avoid quite jumping to that point. Am I right, Jonathan?
Yeah, we're here to provide information, basically, and what's done with it, I think, is beyond our purview, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. But you certainly don't object if people like Dave use it to prove their point.
Oh, gosh, no. Absolutely not. Nor would I object if Democrats in Congress were to use the information here to begin investigations and other such proceedings.
Yeah, Dave, thanks. Appreciate the call. And we just have a few seconds remaining here. The categories are true intel, false intel, fear factor, civil liberties eroded, expanded executive powers, torture, distraction, quagmire, profiteering and contractors, mission accomplished, and then dates that things happen and dates the public knew. Those are the categories. I want you to, next time you're online, go to MotherJones.com and dig into this. It's really, really interesting. Jonathan, thanks for joining us, and thanks for all your hard work on this.
Thank you, Peter.
Go to MotherJones.com and check it out. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunetaRealEstate.com.
Time to celebrate yet another treasured holiday tradition. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. It's the day after Christmas, and this is the time for that annual spoof on that old Christmas rhyme. For in this special week, from today through the 1st, all you accomplished must now be reversed. 10 hours camped in Denver to get out of town. Now Christmas is over, you turn right around. And the trees Christmas warriors fought hard to display are ground into mulch or packed quietly away. And the gifts that old Santa pulled out of his pack? Well, I guess about half of them have to go back. So while Dad tries to get the new PC to work, Mom spends the day with the courtesy clerk. Because some things don't fit, and some were just bad. And some of the CDs you already had. And the must-have gift no one could beg, steal, or borrow? You'll find it on eBay day after tomorrow. Or else to the attic it goes with its peers, packed high with the must-haves of previous years. But when Santa screws up, there's no need to regret it. Just take your receipts in and gather your credits and bring home the one gift on which all agree, a digital flat panel widescreen TV. Be you parent or child, husband or wife, Christmas stays with you the rest of your life. The smiles of the children, the holiday sounds, the wonderful food, and the 17 pounds. Yes, there's one gift that most always fits like a glove, the memories you'll hold of the people you love. And the 17 pounds, well, that too you will keep, because they won't take that back, even with a receipt. Now this.
I never get tired of hearing, "Mr. Orrick, your 8-pound hotel vacuum has made a difference in my life. A chore has become a joy. My carpets actually look like new and the air I breathe is fresh. What a difference your vacuum has made in my life." Friend, try my Orrick XL for 30 days, risk-free. If you don't love it, we'll take it back. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and we'll make a difference in your life.
This is Dave Ross.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones the safety net by saving them thousands of dollars by avoiding cumbersome legal proceedings. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available and affordable. With over 1,000 living trusts completed locally, they'll work with you to avoid costly probate. Behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, downtown Monterey. Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
However you do it, on itty-bitty speakers on your computer or that big loud speaker in your car. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You can call us whenever the urge strikes you. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Got to pose some interesting questions about Iraq.
This ain't no technological breakdown.
Joining me now is Ra'ed Jarar. He is the Iraq Project Director for Global Exchange based in San Francisco, a great organization that you know by its founders, Medea Benjamin and Kevin Danaher. They put on the green festivals, they sponsor eco-tours around the world, and they help raise political consciousness on many fronts. One of the projects I know of Global Exchange is they have been running an occupation watch in Iraq and monitoring the events there. And Ra'ed Jarar also blogs on the internet at raedinthemiddle.blogspot.com. My first opportunity to meet you, sir. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I make a point of talking to people who know more than I do. And you spent some time in Amman, Jordan, where the president has been this week. You were there in August. You've been in contact with various members of the Iraqi parliament. And one of the things I'm interested in discussing with you, Ra'ed, is the legality of the UN's extension of the authority for the United States, so they call it a coalition, but for the United States to continue the occupation of Iraq. Tell us what the issues are here.
According to most of the Iraqi parliamentarians who I have been in contact with during the last few days, this extension is unconstitutional and illegal. What happened is that the Iraqi parliament tried to change some parts in the constitution earlier this year to make it the parliament's authority and right to renew this UN mandate when it expires at the end of the year. And they managed to actually, you know, push the government to agree on that. And after that, the Iraqi parliament have been having all of this series of the meetings and sessions for the last month, because the Iraqi parliamentarians wanted to add a number of conditions to the mandate to ensure that the United Nations mandate will not be a reason for keeping the occupation. You know, on the contrary, they wanted the UN mandate to be a reason for ending the occupation.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to put at least three conditions that they reached to after months and months of debate. And they had a closed session 3 or 4 days ago, and they agreed that these three conditions should be there, and the three conditions are taking over the responsibilities for controlling and training the Iraqi army. This is number one. And number two is taking over the security responsibilities, as in, you know, asking the occupation forces to leave the Iraqi cities, pull out from Iraqi cities. And number three is changing the, demanding that the United Nations mandate should expire every 6 months instead of expiring once a year, so that they would have actually, you know, the opportunity to ask the occupation troops to leave sooner, maybe within the next 6 months, as soon as they can organize the Iraqi forces and take over the security thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened is that in this closed session 3 or 4 days ago, the Iraqi parliamentarians decided to have a session for voting on these conditions in 10 days, which is a week from now. And everyone was, you know, looking forward to that day. And then yesterday they woke up and they found out that the mandate was renewed while they were sleeping in the United Nations, without anyone informing them. without anyone paying any attention to the Iraqi parliament. So I think the most pathetic part of the story is that they were not informed at all, and the parliamentarians that I talked to, they hear the news about renewing the United Nations mandate from me. And I'm, you know, just this random guy who's sitting in Washington, D.C., working with a non-profit organization. And I'm calling someone within the Iraqi government, the lawmakers of the Iraqi government, and informing them about the future of their country. So it's really sad to see the situation of disconnectivity.
Well, Riyad, doesn't it beg the question as to whether there is an independent government of any democratic dimensions in Iraq?
I mean, this is a very valid question. I don't think many people are not aware of the descriptions of the Iraqi government. It's usually described as the puppet government, you know, the collaborator government inside Iraq and outside Iraq. But the shocking thing is that the U.S. authorities, the occupation authorities, cannot actually deal with more than a handful of people around al-Maliki and al-Maliki himself, the Iraqi prime minister. They can't extend their relationship outside this little small circle. So even this small government that was elected under the occupation and that many people call a puppet government and many people doubt its legitimacy, this government is against the occupation. And you can see that the U.S. Lost all of its control, all of its relationship to this small, you know, circle of people who go every day to the green zone, and they are hiding, and they are dependent on the U.S. military presence there. Even those people are against the occupation. So you can see that the limitations of the number of people who actually are justifying the continuation of the occupation and justifying more occupation and more military presence, it's just that al-Maliki and some few number of people around him who are still in contact with the Bush administration, still sending these unilateral messages to the United Nations without the knowledge of any of the Iraqi parliamentarians, and still stealing the voice of the Iraqi people.
We're talking with Raed Jarar of Global Exchange. He is their Iraq Project Director. And he is quoted, among others, in a story released by the Institute for Public Accuracy today. Let me quote some of the others. The parliament, according to Dr. Jabir Habib, an Iraqi Shia MP close to the al-Sadr group, was supposed to vote on this in 10 days. He said, "We spent the last months discussing the conditions we wanted to add to the mandate, and the majority of the parliament reached three major conditions." Mr. Hassan al-Shamari, a Shia MP representing the al-Fadila party, said, "We had a closed session 2 days ago, and we were supposed to vote on the mandate after 10 days. I can't believe the mandate just passed without our knowledge." Dr. Hajim al-Hassani, a Sunni secular MP and the former Speaker of the Parliament, didn't even know that the mandate passed yesterday. "If this was true, it is breaking the agreements we had with al-Maliki," Mr. al-Hassani added. "We were supposed to have a meeting with Maliki and other top officials in the Parliament during the next couple of weeks to decide what to do with the mandate. This is totally unexpected," says Saleh al-Mutlaq, a secular MP. "Totally unexpected. Another example of how the Prime Minister is not taking the Parliament seriously." Well, Raed, this, if you couple it with the memo that was intentionally leaked, I believe, from the White House just before the summit in Amman, Jordan, the Hadley memo, which undercuts the Maliki regime from the Bush administration's point of view, what do we have here? If the Bush administration has no confidence in their handpicked puppet leader, and if he in turn doesn't observe the basic fundamentals of democratic process, then we've got a bigger mess on our hands than most Americans probably are aware of.
Al-Maliki's government lost all of its support during the last few months. I don't know of any Iraqi who actually still has some hope with this government, or any hope that this government will end up doing something good for the country. What we are facing in the last 3 days is that there are some major changes that are going to happen within the next few days, and that already happened within the next couple of within the previous couple of days. Major people pulled out from the government, like Al Sadr Group, one of the major Shia parliament blocs. They pulled out from the parliament and from the government a couple of days ago.
And now Riyad, did they actually pull out, or did they quote unquote suspend their participation as kind of a threat?
Yeah. They suspended their participation, but it's an open-ended suspension.
Okay.
And there is another secular group that suspended their participation in the government. It's called the Iraqi Reconciliation and Liberation Front. And today, in fact, it seems that there is this new coalition that is emerging that will end up putting many Iraqi Sunnis and Shia and secular and Kurds and Christians together to work for ruling their country and give an alternative for the Iraqi government. So there is an active planning for having a coup d'etat against the current government. And there are very strong signs that this coup d'etat will happen within the next maybe hours or days. An announcement for a new government that is called the National Salvation Government is expected to happen very, very soon. And there are some signs about this from Al-Sadr Group and other Sunni and secular groups. So you can see that many Iraqis are preferring to take some radical steps, some major changes to change the Iraqi government, because it doesn't seem like depending on, the current government and hoping that the current government will change the situation is working anymore.
Riyad,
people are just losing their hope.
And Riyad, understanding what you just said, that imminently there could be a coup in Baghdad, coming back to the Hadley memo, do you think the Bush administration, either passively or actively, hopes for such a coup because they have concluded that Maliki is no longer capable of delivering for the United States?
Ironically enough, one of the reasons for the total collapse of al-Maliki's government is the Bush-Maliki meeting. In fact, this was the reason given by Al-Sadr Group a couple of days ago for pulling out or suspending their participation in the government.
They
said, we don't want to stay in the government because al-Maliki is meeting with Bush. So the bottom line is that the Bush administration lost control over Iraq politically and socially and militarily. They are not actually, playing games or controlling the changes in Iraq anymore. They, in general, they don't know what's happening in Iraq at all. And the ongoing changes are just, these leaked memos and meetings with al-Maliki and cancelled meetings and postponed meetings and all of these things are just signs of how confused and lost this administration is. It's not an administration with a secret plan, a plan B that they will have a coup d'etat or something. It's a lost administration that doesn't know what's happening in Iraq. It just lost Iraq completely. And now what's happening now is totally outside the control of the U.S. administration. In fact, what we are reaching to now is because of the level of chaos and the level of violence that the country reached to, and the level of the situation was getting totally out of control from the American authorities and the Iraqi authorities.
Riyad, we've got to take a break.
I don't believe that the Bush administration is actually planning actively in a smart way to change the regime or put another one. I mean, they're just lost and they're just losing the situation.
Yeah, but they haven't figured out that the superpower thing isn't working for them. We're going to take a break and return with Riyad Jarrar. He is the Iraq Project Director for Global Exchange, and he's just offered some pretty powerful observations. If you'd like to join us with a question or comment, do it. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the best of Peter B. Collins, pre-recorded. Happy holidays from all of us at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Let's take a look at your drive home in and around the Monterey Bay area. This look is brought to you by Meineke Car Care Centers. What's better than free gas? Free gas and football. Receive a $20 gas card with any $200 in Meineke service. And then tune in December 30th for the Meineke Car Care Bowl. See participating dealer for details. Well, as far as these roadways concerned, still dealing with this problem off the freeways in Soquel. San Jose Road, north of Olson Road, a minor injury crash here. It looks like they've got it out of lanes of traffic, but it's still an overturn, so quite a little visual problem. People slowing down just to take a look. Southbound along Highway 1 in Santa Cruz County at Buena Vista Drive. There's still a ladder between lanes of traffic. Folks are swerving around it. Problems at Soquel Drive and Paul Sweet Road in Live Oak. An injury crash here. Emergency crews are finally on the scene. And in Gilroy, Highway 152 east of Bloomfield Avenue, a new crash. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm fascinated and just modestly stunned by the commentary we're getting from Ra'ed Jarar from Global Exchange. He is their Iraq Project Director, and to be clear, he has been in contact with members of the Iraqi Parliament. He met with some of them in Amman, Jordan this summer. And what other contacts have you cultivated, Ra'ed, with the elected leaders in Iraq?
I have a continuing relationship with a number of Iraqi members of parliament and other Iraqi officials. And in fact, most of the relationship started last year. I was working with the United Nations on some projects for taking Iraqi leaders to South Africa and other places around the world to put them in contact with other leaders who managed to solve their country's problems and reach the reconciliation among their country's different sects. So I started having relationships with them at that time, but I think what facilitates more relationship with Iraqi leaders is that there is a void of communication between the U.S. and the Iraqis who can't speak English. And I spent most of my life in Iraq, and I just moved to the U.S. last year. So I can speak Arabic. Like, Arabic is my first language, and I can speak English as well. So like, I can link the Iraqi parliamentarians to Congress members. In fact, this is most of my work, because I'm based in D.C. And most of my work is linking Congress members to Iraqi parliamentarians so that they know what actually is happening within the Iraqi government. Because even the Congress here thinks that what's happening in the Iraqi government is what al-Maliki is saying. And what al-Maliki is saying does not actually represent the Iraqi government, does not represent what the parliament is saying, and does not represent what the Iraqi state is saying.
Now, Ryan, I understand it's a very fluid and chaotic situation, but if I had to make a pick, I would guess that if there is a coup or other implosion of the Maliki government, that the person who would most likely surface as a strong-arm leader of Iraq is Muqtada al-Sadr. Is that a good guess?
This is a good guess. Al-Sadr is definitely one of the strongest people in Iraq, but Al-Sadr is usually... he prefers to work with other Iraqis from different sects and different geographic areas. He never proposed himself as an Iraqi leader, and he doesn't want to play that role at all. So Al-Sadr is very strong, and he is taking a strong role in this upcoming change. But the bottom line is that the coming change will end up being everyone in the current government except the Iranian-backed parties, the two Iranian-backed parties, Skiri and Al-Dawa parties, will be kicked out from the government because of this, like, you know, radical change. And, like, everyone else will be there, and they will try to include other people who were excluded in the last few years because of their, you know, political or religious or whatever backgrounds. So it's kind of more, like, you know, it's not a big change when you look at the bigger picture. What's happening is actually just taking out a very sectarian and violent force from the government, which is the Iranian-backed political parties, and trying to, you know, include many other people who are currently in the insurgency or, you know, leaders who were in the previous Iraqi army or in the Ba'ath party or all of these other major powers that are causing the instability. So it's like... step towards more inclusion, in fact.
So, Riyad, can you imagine a scenario where the United States can withdraw without a Vietnam-style evacuation under emergency circumstances?
This is what I'm working for. This is what many of us are working for. The peace and justice movement in the U.S. in general is searching for a way to end this occupation and pull the U.S. troops without reaching to a disaster, without reaching to a Lebanese-style, you know, disaster that, where the U.S. waited until the actual disaster happened and pulled out from Lebanon, or a Somalia-style disaster, or a Vietnam-style disaster, or many other different, you know, examples where the U.S. foreign policy waits until, you know, a disaster happens and then it pulls out. All of our work is to pull out the troops before actual big disasters happen, because there is still a space and time for the U.S. troops to pull out and give the Iraqis the time, you know, to rule their country by themselves without waiting for, you know, massive scale revolutions by Iraqis. That will cause the death and destruction, like more death and destruction from both sides.
Riyad, you're very well informed. We've got about 2 minutes remaining, and I just want to give you an opportunity to share any other information or observations that you think are important or relevant at this point.
I think there is a lot happening regarding the Iraq Study Group. The Iraq Study Group is a group that was...
The Baker Group, yeah.
The Baker-Hamilton Group. It's being portrayed as a group that will bring up all of the magic solutions to deal with Iraq. But unfortunately, even without waiting to see the actual recommendations that are coming up within the next few days, the process that the group adopted for reaching to these conclusions doesn't seem like the right process. The process, including ignoring Iraqi voices, it did not include any of the major Iraqi voices. It did not bring what the Iraqi people want, and I think we will end up having just yet another unilateral plan that some lawmakers in D.C. Worked on behind closed doors. So that's why I think one of the major problems that we are facing with the policy in Iraq is that there is a majority of Iraqis, between 80 and 90% of Iraqis, are demanding to get their country back, and they want the occupation troops to set a timetable for withdrawing the troops. And I think without bringing these important voices to the table, to start putting a comprehensive plan that will end the occupation and deal with the post-occupation period, we'll be just going in circles and, you know, having these random plans that will end up maybe getting a worse course than the one that we are living now. We shouldn't forget that it's not just about changing the course, it's about changing the course to the right one.
Mm-hmm. And many people say, well, we can't leave because we will create a void where the civil war will just go out of control and hundreds of thousands of more Iraqis will die. How do you respond to that?
Hundreds of thousands of Iraqis or more have already been killed. I'm a half Sunni and half Shia Iraqi, and I know that Iraqi Sunnis and Shia have never had a civil war in their entire history. Opposing to what the mainstream media is repeating usually about Iraqi Sunnis and Shia killing each other for the last thousands of years, Iraqi Sunnis and Shia know how to manage with their problems by themselves. They just need the time and space to deal with their problems by themselves. No one on earth has the right or responsibility to go and solve the problems between Iraqi neighbors.
Thank you very much, Raed. We're out of time. Thank you for joining us. That's Raed Jarar, Iraqi Project Director for Global Exchange on the Peter... It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Toyota Prius sedan, the hot-selling hybrid that has everybody talking. The Prius has a gas-electric combo power plant, and the gas portion is a 1.5-liter four-cylinder unit. When the light turns green, you...
United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Pammy McCormick.
The only other one we can appeal to is God.
A lawyer for Saddam Hussein after an Iraqi appeals court today upheld the former dictator's conviction and death sentence. Here's CBS News correspondent Randall Pinkston.
The decision now goes to Iraqi President Jalal Talabani, who must sign it, along with the nation's two vice presidents. Once the appeals court order is ratified, Saddam and his co-defendants would be hanged in 30 days. Saddam was convicted of the 1982 murders of 148 residents of a Shiite town.
There were several car bombings and other attacks in and around Baghdad today. 90 U.S. troops have been killed this month. More than 50 Iraqis died just today. President Bush is working on his plan for Iraq, but as CBS News correspondent Thalia Assuris reports, there's one very vocal critic of any increase in U.S. troop strength, Senator Joseph Biden.
During a conference call, Senator Biden told us in very forceful terms that sending more troops to Iraq would be the absolute wrong strategy, expanding actually on comments he made earlier on CBS.
We should be drawing down troops, putting pressure on the Iraqi government to settle their sectarian differences rather than putting more troops in and acting as apartheid cops.
President Bush seems to be leaning instead toward a so-called surge of perhaps 30,000 more troops. Biden opposes that, demanding that Iraqis come up with their own political solution.
Bargains galore at the nation's stores and malls. That's because pre-Christmas sales didn't live up to hopes. So correspondent Bill Whitaker says retailers are hoping when you come in with those gift cards, you buy a little more than you planned.
The line to see Santa before Christmas has disappeared, replaced by the line to return gifts this day after.
Retailers say 37% of holiday shoppers will return at least one item. And believe it or not, they say that's a good thing.
We really anticipate that more people will exchange something, use their gift card, and upgrade to probably a better item that they really wanted and didn't get for Christmas.
If you get a $50 gift card, you'll spend $150. Never fails.
Many happy returns or not, stores need more than returnees to turn this so-so Christmas shopping season into one to celebrate.
Some online merchants say they had a record holiday, Amazon.com for one, which had 4 million orders. Don't reach for that heartburn medicine if you don't really need it. The advice of British researchers who say some of those widely used prescription medications, if taken for more than a year, can increase your risk of a broken hip, possibly by making it harder for your body to absorb calcium. A British Airways plane reportedly carrying British Prime Minister Tony Blair overshot a runway in Miami today. There were no injuries. The flight was arriving from London. Civil rights groups are suing over a new Texas law that would ban renting apartments to illegal immigrants, insisting it would force landlords to act as immigration officers. On Wall Street today, the trading resumed. The Dow finished up 64 points. This is CBS News.
If you want someone to tell you what you want to hear, we aren't the place. But if you want someone to tell it like it is, come to Match.com.
You need to start making some different decisions and embracing some different strategies to get what you want.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. For a limited time, Match.com will guarantee you'll find someone special within 6 months, or will give you 6 months free. Join Match.com today, the number one site for love. Visit Match.com for details.
I need Cheerios and Listerine, Huggies, Pepsi, and Pantene, GE Lights and 409. If I spill, it's bounty time. Dollar General, that's the spot. Look at everything I got.
It's clearance days at Dollar General. Get 50% off already everyday low prices on all Christmas merchandise through January 15th. And 25% off all fall and winter clothing through January 22nd. See your circular for details. Save time, save money every day.
Dollar General.
A new study claims losing some pounds could also reduce your risk of an aggressive form of prostate cancer. Here's CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato.
Prostate cancer is the second deadliest type of cancer among American men. So how can you help yourself avoid it? In a study in the journal Cancer Epidemiology, Biomarkers and Prevention, researchers found men could reduce their risk of developing an aggressive form of the disease by losing at least 11 pounds over a 10-year period. Keeping your weight the same doesn't appear to have the same effect.
Previous studies have indicated that men who are obese have a higher risk of that aggressive prostate cancer. There will be a public funeral service for legendary R&B singer James Brown, who died yesterday of heart failure. His agent says it will take place in an arena in Augusta, Georgia that bears his name. Fans have been paying tribute by leaving flowers and other items at a statue of Brown there. The public service will be held on Saturday. There will also be a private service for family and friends the day before. Brown was 73. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Okay, team, let's get started.
Now exiting for Hazelnut Serenity.
Introducing Splenda flavor blends for coffee in hazelnut, French vanilla, and mocha. They add delicious flavor that takes you someplace else.
Ah, a yoga retreat with no pie charts. Assume the lotus position and sip. Breathe in tantalizing hazelnut.
Oh,
Margo?
What? Yeah, it's totally zen.
New Splenda flavor blends for coffee. Visit them at hazelnutflavorblends.com. Find them in the coffee aisle.
I've got a cough that won't quit.
That's why Robitussin DM is my Robitussin.
My chest is all congested, so Robitussin Chest Congestion is my Robitussin.
My cold came with a cough, and my head is stuffed up too. That's why Robitussin CF is my Robitussin.
Robitussin has formulas for coughs, for colds, for congestion, and for flu. So no matter what you've got, there's Robitussin Relief with your name on it. Use as directed.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 6 minutes past the hour. Wherever you happen to be, and whether you're listening to AM radio or the speakers on the back of your computer, or you download it as a podcast, I'm delighted you've found the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the left coast.
God had a name. What would it be, and would you call it to his face if you were faced with him? Just one question. And yeah,
us this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show is Dr. Robin Myers. He's a United Church of Christ minister. He is the pastor at the Mayflower Church in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And he's an outspoken activist for peace and justice. He writes for the Christian Century. He's a professor of rhetoric at Oklahoma City University. And earlier this year, he published a powerful book called Why the Christian Right is Wrong, a minister's manifesto for taking back your faith, your flag, your future. Robin Myers, always a pleasure. Welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks for having me back on, Peter. My pleasure.
Things have gotten a little bit better, and of course, not everything's gotten better since we last hooked up in July when you were on the West Coast for your book tour. Let's accentuate the positive for a moment. Were you surprised by the outcome of the midterm elections?
I was surprised by the extent to which the Democrats made gains. I knew they would win the House. I really had no way of knowing they would also take the Senate. I think most people were surprised by that. And I have some feelings about what this really means. I think it's a referendum against what was going on, not necessarily a great trust being placed in the Democrats, but I hope they can rise to the occasion. I think most Americans said the war is a disaster. I think that's the number one thing the election says, and that we need to figure out a way to bring our troops home. And I think the other thing it said was that the choreographing of reality, and you and I have talked about this, really sort of has to end. Whether you are Mark Foley, you know, pretending to be straight instead of gay and then crusading against gays, or whether you're Ted Haggard out in Colorado Springs doing the same thing, a lot of Christian evangelicals in this country have sort of gotten shaken down, and they realize things are not as they appear to be, and hopefully all of us maybe grew up a little bit, and the election reflects that.
Just one note to what you just described. David Kuo has been on our program once, and we want to get him back. He was in the Office of Faith-Based Initiatives at the White House, and he's published a book that discloses just how cynical the administration was toward the evangelicals that it stroked and used and abused, and that so much of the rhetoric that was aimed at evangelicals was really empty.
That's exactly right. They got used. Their religious dispositions were exploited for political power. And then once the votes had been secured, I don't think this administration either cared a whole lot about following through on the promises or even cared a whole lot about them. In fact, if this book is even halfway accurate, they ridiculed members of the Christian right as sort of crazy, loony, goofy people. Well, you know, I disagree with the Christian right about a lot of things, but the personal insults are not necessary, and I think, again, this kind of unmasked what this administration was all about. They do what they need to do and have to do to win, and then once the religious rhetoric subsides after the election, they turn their attention to the real agenda. The real agenda is environmental deregulation, tax cuts for the wealthy, helping people who are already rich get richer, and I think the shine is off all of this, and I'm really encouraged by this, Peter. I think people sort of woke up to the extent to which they had been had.
Mm-hmm. To me, though, it's really fascinating. The most critical moral issue of the moment revolves around the U.S. posture toward torture and the so-called Military Commissions Act. And, Dr. Myers, we renamed it on our program in the spirit of healthy skies and clear forests or whatever that stuff's called, the Joe Stalin Torture, Detention, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006.
Right. Nice job.
And, you know, by sending it up that way, I don't want to trivialize the impact of this legislation. To me, it is barbaric. It lowers the standard, you know, for the United States to even below those of some of our enemies. It invites retribution on, again, a much lower moral level. And I just think it's fundamentally wrong. And it was interesting to me because there was so much analysis following the midterm elections, and it took the religion writer at the New York Times to note that nobody raised torture. Nobody talked about habeas corpus. Nobody talked about the rights of the accused, Democrat or Republican, during the midterm campaigns. It was a non-issue.
Yeah, and that just shows what a vindictive and vengeful country we've become. When we sort of accept the idea that certain things have to happen to certain people, we don't think it's going to happen to us. And we've forgotten what the American judicial system is all about. I said on one of your previous programs that I never thought I would see the day when we would have a debate about whether or not we ought to torture people. Since that time, with the passage of this act, you or I or anyone out there that the president, who likes to call himself the decider, decides is an enemy combatant can be arrested, and we lose all of our habeas corpus rights. We don't get to have a lawyer. We don't get to see the evidence used against us to decide that we're an enemy combatant. Everything is thrown out the window. We can be sent someplace to be tortured, and it's very incredible, Peter. And why more people aren't rising up against this, I have no idea.
I mean, I'm encouraged that Senator Leahy has said that he wants to make significant changes. Senator Dodd has proposed specific legislation to return us to compliance with the Geneva Conventions, to extend habeas corpus rights to these detainees, and essentially to make the appropriate fixes to this draconian piece of legislation. But I don't hear much about it in the media, except on a program like this. And I just think that this really is an issue that we cannot be silent about.
I don't think people realize what has happened to them. And that's I really think that's a failure of the media, as you say, to get the message out there. I think this whole habeas corpus thing just strikes the man on the street as, well, it's Latin. I know it has something to do with the judicial system, but it doesn't really affect me. And the problem with creeping fascism is that by increments we accept the unacceptable until one day we wake up and we don't recognize the country we live in.
Indeed. And I share your concern. It's interesting. Since you published your book, we tracked down Lawrence Britt, who you cited as the source of, I think, 14 benchmarks of creeping fascism. And we had him on the program in late September or early October. And, Dr. Myers, it is just amazing how these terms that define fascism fit so accurately into our current picture.
Oh, they do. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And this summer, when I was traveling around the country doing speeches and book signings and interviews, I would read that list of 14 indicators that a country is going fascist. And at the end of the list, there was always a little gasp in the audience, because they recognized that all of them are evident and ascendant in the United States. Now, that's not to say we've become fascist, although with the Military Commissions Act, we're getting very close. But all the indicators are pointing at us in that direction. And maybe the election will help to turn that tide in a new direction. I'm a pastor, Peter, so I'm professionally obligated to hope. And I'm trying to be hopeful. But it's going to take more than just mere optimism to get us where we need to go. We're going to have some tough, strong leaders who get up and stand for what's right.
We're talking with Dr. Robin Myers. His book, Why the Christian Right is Wrong. It's a powerful book. You should read it if you haven't already. And if you have a question or a comment for Dr. Myers, he's with us this entire hour. There's much more to talk about. Get on the line now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's toll-free 888-573-8372. And as we continue, we'll talk about Foley, we'll talk about Haggard, we'll talk about the future of evangelical politics in this country. I also want to talk more about creeping fascism. I think that's a very central point that Dr. Myers makes in his book. 888-5-PETER-B. Join the conversation now here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the best of Peter B. Collins, pre-recorded. Happy holidays from all of us at the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Let's take a look at your drive home in and around the Monterey Bay area. Some new problems, unfortunately, for the Santa Cruz Mountains, northbound 17, before the Redwood Estates. An accident. It's in the left-hand lane. It's a vehicle that hit the center divide. Now, we all know that can do a lot of damage to the drive. I'll keep a close eye on that wreck. Also, Soquel San Jose Road, north of Olson Road, a minor injury act still in the works. An overturned vehicle has been uprighted at this point, and we're lucky these injuries are only minor. New problems for Santa Clara County, Highway 152. Casa de Fruta. It's a new crash. It's off to the right-hand shoulder. And in Gilroy, this is a new wreck as well. Eastbound along Highway 152 after Lover's Lane, an injury accident here. Big wreck hit a car and a pickup truck. The pickup truck is pinned against a pole. This look brought to you by Mattress Discounters. Hurry into Mattress Discounters today during their year-end clearance event and save 20 to 50%. Get free financing for 12 months. Mattress Discounters. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco. And my able producer is Matt Renner. We're taking your calls this hour with Dr. Robin Myers, the author of Why the Christian Right is Wrong. We got lines available if you'd like to join us. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And first up on the phone, it's Larry in Aptos. Hi, Larry. You're on the program.
Yeah, hi, Peter. Yeah, I wanted to bring up a few things. First, I went to Catholic schools for 16 years of my life, so first grade all the way through college. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that there was a tradition with the Catholics, especially back in the early 60s, mid-60s, they were very pro-civil rights. Eventually, they, Catholics, the Catholic hierarchy, they were against the Vietnam War. We know about the Berrigan brothers and so on. But in the recent past, it seems Catholics have kind of turned Republican and supported Bush. I think a lot of that might have been based on the abortion issue, even though I know I've seen a poll showing that the vast majority of American Catholics actually are pro-choice. You know, there might be some 30-35% of virulently anti-choice Catholics.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, so I wanted to bring that up, it's not just the evangelicals, but you have a core group of Catholics, too, that have seemed to have swung to the right, although I have heard in this past election that Catholics again kind of swung back to voting for Democrats. And the other thing is about Catholics and fascism. They have a history. The Catholic hierarchy has a history of supporting fascists. They supported Francisco Franco and the fascists during the Spanish Civil War. And in fact, a couple of years ago when the Pope John Paul, the one before this one, he went over to Spain several years back and he made a few Spanish clergy that were killed during that time into saints. And I asked myself at that time, well, I wonder whose side they were on. Were they on the side of the Republicans or were they side on the of Francisco Franco's fascists?
Well, let's get a comment from Dr. Meyer stipulating that he does not serve at the pleasure of the Vatican.
Okay, yeah, right. I know that.
Yes, let's just... Good, important disclaimer here. I'm as Protestant as they come, I guess. But I mean,
that's probably a good thing. Maybe.
Well, and Larry makes a very—it's Larry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Makes a very good point in that all of us sort of lost our soul in the '60s and '70s. We were doing the legitimate work of the church, which was to care for people who are poor and disadvantaged and left out, and to try to help them and heal them and bring them into the mainstream. That's really when the church is being at its best. And then I think Catholics and Protestants alike got seduced by the idea of power. And as the sort of moral majority grew in this country and the anti-abortion movement was attached to that, I think Larry's exactly right when he identifies that particular issue. And all of a sudden we got seduced by the idea that we could change the world through political action instead of actually going out and doing ministry on behalf of people. And I think one of the things you now see in the latest election, one-third of Christian evangelicals voted Democratic. That is an astonishing statistic as compared with 2004. So I think what all of us are starting to remember is we can lose our way. We can lose our soul, and we need to get our soul back. And our soul is always to help the poor and try to liberate those who are oppressed.
And why is it that the religious power that was translated into politics was all around very hardline Old Testament values, Dr. Myers?
Well, because I think as George Lakoff says, the guy who wrote Don't Think of an Elephant, the guy who's helping us Democrats to try to frame their issues better, Republicans had a strict father morality. And that was that you had to deal with your children in such a way that they learned what was right and wrong and they became responsible. And the way you knew that they had exercised self-discipline and were good kids is that they became prosperous. If they misbehaved or got out of line, you had to punish them. Spare the rod and spoil the child. That's the kind of Republican philosophy of life, and really it plays out in foreign policy as well. So the Old Testament has many more rules about what a God who's understood as a lawgiver and a judge hands down. Do good things, get rewarded by the strict father. But do bad things, you get punished by the strict father. Now, that's the view I think many Republicans have of the deity. So your view of God determines your politics to a great extent. As I've said before, Peter, nobody is calling for the eight Beatitudes to be carved in stone and put into the courthouse. They're much too kind and gentle and forgiving and compassionate. They're not nearly tough enough.
Mm-hmm. Xavier in Santa Cruz, join us with Dr. Myers here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, hi, Peter, and hi, Reverend.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I got to say both my father and my mother were strict, so I don't know how well that holds up, but that's not what I called about.
All right.
I was raised Catholic, and I moved out here to the left coast and became very progressive and active, and I was a pagan for, well, I still am, I guess, a pagan, but one of the things I found is doing a lot of direct action and pirate radio and stuff, and I found that, you know, I'm speaking to the choir a lot. I found I could do more good by, now I work with a guy who's a priest in an Orthodox church. He's very good-hearted, but I don't consider him to be racist. He likes some people who are from the Middle East, but he's very bigoted towards people who are practicing Islam. And one of the things that I'm finding is that I try to impress upon him that we get kind of a Hatfields and McCoys type attitude where you go over there and you harm innocent people and take over their country, put yourself in their place. You're creating more enemies than that's not the way to solve it. And I find that if I'm able to go and talk to people who are outside of my realm, I think I'm doing a lot more good that way.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Myers?
You are. There's a chapter in my book called Terminal False Dichotomies, which is my way of explaining how Bush and company have divided up the world kind of like a big rhetorical watermelon. Just they slice it with a big machete, and the two halves roll each way. And on one half, you've got the good guys, and on the other half, you have the evildoers. And, of course, we all know life's not that simple. One of the things this country has to do is quit stereotyping Muslims. When suicide bombers blow themselves up in hope of going to heaven and deliberately kill innocent people, they violate the spirit of the Quran, which expressly forbids that. Just as when Timothy McVeigh, I live in Oklahoma City, blew up the Murrah Federal Building in 1995 and killed 19 children and 160 adults. That's an evil act. Doesn't matter if you're a Christian or a Muslim. We can all violate the spirit of our own religious traditions.
We got to take a break. We'll continue with Dr. Robin Myers. Thank you for the call, Xavier. His book is Why the Christian Right is Wrong, and I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey. Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Don't your children deserve the very best for the holidays? Locally owned and operated for 36 years, Thinker Toys has been the first holiday shopping stop for generations of parents in Carmel and Monterey, where owner Mark Phillips and his staff take great pride in personally serving every customer. Thinker Toys is dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly. While Thinker Toys specializes in educational toys for newborns through six-year-olds, there's no better place than Thinker Toys to buy great toys for thinking kids of all ages. Make your child's Christmas, Hanukkah, Christmaka, Kwanzaa, or the holiday of your choice extra special with high-quality educational toys and games from Thinker Toys. Open every day at 10 a.m. in Carmel at 7th and San Carlos and in Monterey at the Del Monte Center. Drop by Thinker Toys today and tell Mark that Peter B. sent you. Happy holidays from Thinker Toys.
From Roy Zimmerman.
Every time we think about same-sex marriage, it makes us sick to our guts. I mean, two people who want to commit to a stable, monogamous, lifelong relationship, what are they, nuts? It's unnatural. Now, a man should not lie with a person who is a guy. He should only lie to his wife. The Bible is clear. We're defenders of marriage in three-button suits. We'll raise our double standard and see who salutes. Defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who want to get married.
One more, Ron.
Every time we think about same-sex parents, oh my gosh, we exclaim. I mean, to people who want to provide a protective and nurturing family environment, have they no shame? It's so deviant. It's the Lord's holy word, as my second wife said to my third, that a family's based on obligation and fear. We're defenders of marriage.
Yeah, the strict father.
Jovial narcs, ever vigilant and patriotic patriarchs. Defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who want to get married.
My favorite term in there is connubial narcs. That's Roy Zimmerman, and it's called Defenders of Marriage off his new CD called Faulty Intelligence. And Roy dropped by with a stack of them. We're going to give one away in the free speech zone next hour. And if you missed our hour with him last week, we're going to repeat it for you on Thanksgiving Day. So just tune in to the Peter B. Collins Show, and we'll have some fun with Roy Zimmerman's music. Dr. Robin Myers is with us. His book, Why the Christian Right is Wrong, came out earlier this year. It's subtitled A Minister's Manifesto for Taking Back Your Faith, Your Flag, Your Future. And what is your take, Dr. Myers, on what appears to be a wedge that has lost its edge? Because we have listeners now in Phoenix, Arizona, who have pointed out to us that that ballot measure failed for reasons beyond just the battle between evangelicals and seculars. But it was an affirming moment to finally see one of these divisive issues voted down.
Well, again, I think the country has grown up just a little bit on this issue and realized the extent to which they've been duped. I don't know that everyone suddenly became defenders of gay marriage. I doubt that. I know that's not the case. But the threat that gay marriage reputedly poses to straight marriage has been sort of exposed as non-existent. I mean, what is the threat? If you go out and ask somebody on the street to tell you exactly what that threat is, it's a threat nobody can find or describe. Then on top of that, you have a couple of high-profile anti-gay crusaders who, in fact, turn out to be gay. So what Mark Foley is out, you know, trying to pretend that he's straight and has his picture taken with beautiful women, and because you can't be a Republican and be gay. And that's the problem, Peter. It's not nice to fool with Mother Nature. If Mark Foley could have been what he is, he would have had a stable life. The fact is, the more denial, the more dysfunction. So he has to pretend that he's something he's not, which forces underground his sexuality, and then it mutates in all kinds of unhealthy ways. And he's out there passing legislation to protect underage teenagers from sexual predators, and he is, in fact, a sexual predator. That kind of rocked the evangelical world, but even more so was Ted Haggard, because Ted Haggard was a pastor, not a politician, who, after all, you know, we put them in a special category. Pastors have an inordinate amount of power among the Christian right. He's got one of the biggest churches in the world, and he had demonized gay people, and he'd used the demonization of gay people to accrue tremendous power, and then it turns out he's paying a male prostitute in Denver to have sex with him. And I think all of a sudden people realized, you know what? It is not a good thing for us to go on kidding ourselves about human sexuality. We need to talk about it frankly and honestly, and we need to do that in the church.
And Dr. Myers, help me out here, because I do not for a moment revel in the misdeeds of Ted Haggard, and I don't judge him because I have sinned at least once myself.
At least once,
but I'm interested not in trying to exploit his failings any further, but only to try to use him as an example of rank hypocrisy in an effort to prevent that from occurring more and more.
Well, when Jesus railed against the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees, he was not railing against the scribes and Pharisees. He was railing against their hypocrisy, that they wore their religion on their sleeve, they judged other people, when in fact they did not have good hearts themselves. I don't. Ted Haggard's gone through a terrible experience. He lost his church. His family, I'm sure, is in turmoil. He's a broken man. And it's interesting that one of my colleagues, who's a UCC pastor, wrote a column and said, Ted Haggard is now welcome in our church, the United Church of Christ, because we have always been gay-friendly, open to gays and lesbians, so that he could come into our church not as a pretender, but as what he really is, which is a gay man. Then we will accept him and call him valuable and welcome him to the communion table, and he will be a happier, healthier human being. And then if he wants to form a long-term relationship with a gay man instead of paying for sex secretly, then we will validate that decision and celebrate it. And tell me, Peter, that's not a move forward for everybody.
Well, that's... you're living the message of Jesus Christ.
I hope so. I'm trying. It's such a radical message that sometimes even I fall short because I have my own prejudices and biases. But in my church in Oklahoma, your listeners might be astonished to hear this, we voted unanimously to be a church that welcomed gay people. And I have performed, 9 or 10 holy unions. We can't call them marriages in Oklahoma because, of course, the state won't recognize it. I've done 300 or 400 straight marriages and 9 or 10 gay marriages. The world has not fallen apart. The gay people whom I married were trying to do what the church believes people should do, which is form sacred covenants with one another, take care of each other, grow old together. It's an adventure. It doesn't work out every time. And the greatest threat to marriage is, of course, people who don't take it seriously. We know that. The song you just played highlights that. My third or fourth wife tells me. So, you know, it's all, you know, Peter, we have been so swamped with lies. We've been lied to for so long that all of a sudden, it's like the boy who cried wolf. The last election was the rumblings of an American body politic that sort of opened its eyes and blinked a couple of times and said, geez, things are not the way we've been told they are. The war's not going well, and it isn't going to go well. The debt's getting bigger, and my kids are going to pay the debt. Global warming is real, and this president's not going to do a damn thing about it. All of a sudden, people woke up. I'm encouraged by that. And in no area more so than in our treatment of gays and lesbians, treating them equally, making sure they're not discriminated against, and helping them form long-term relationships is good for them because they're human beings and we ought to care about them.
Dr. Robin Myers here on the Peter B. Collins Show. John joins us from Carmel Valley. Thanks for holding, John. You're on the air.
Religion is my chief interest, even beyond politics, and I am despairing because I don't even know where to begin in my questions. You covered just now the hypocrisy of both Haggard and Foley, which was probably, I guess, their biggest sin. And it didn't surprise me because I, all during the 70s, was in the religious right, not quite a card-carrying member, but almost. It was before they ever got politicized. And I got to know by that period, some of the characteristics they're showing now, as they are so politicized. And I'd like to ask you, since I don't think they, or even the rest of society, if you asked 100 people, just picked at random, I'm guessing that far less than 50 out of that 100 could correctly define what hypocrisy is. I have never heard a sermon on it, and I was a Catholic. Gee, we're getting a lot of Catholics, both ex and current, or maybe they've all been ex so far. I am an ex-Catholic. I never heard in the first 31 years of my life, when I attended Mass almost every Sunday of those 31 years, I never heard a sermon on hypocrisy. I never heard it later when I became a member, the only time I joined a church, a Protestant one. Never heard a sermon on it there.
Well,
I have never
heard a sermon on it ever. John, as a recovering Catholic myself, I would just offer that perhaps they didn't want you to be armed with a term like that because you might apply it to them.
That's right. This can all hit a little too close to home sometimes for the clergy, and it's odd that you would never hear a sermon about it when, if you just go through your New Testament again, read everything in red letters, you'll see an extraordinary amount of anger on the part of Jesus reserved for people who pretend to be something that they are not.
His strongest anger, the
That's
words
right.
he uses, not just whited sepulchres, but all kinds of, I mean, he was just seething with anger in those dialogues he has, that I think the Catholic Church still has those. Aren't they in the Gospel of Matthew? And the Catholic Church, I think, still reads those passages. You hear them from the altar the only time I have, and they are scathing dialogues, and I think that's the reason Easter, despite the resurrection and how important, and you would think, abiding the doctrine of the resurrection is what keeps people making it still just a one-day event rather than Christmas, now three-month event, is because not just the death on the cross, but it's those dialogues that Jesus has with the Pharisees about hypocrisy. We just don't like hearing that.
Well, we are much more interested in worshiping Christ as a kind of alien being who came to earth, has done his work to save us, and gone back from whence he came, than we are interested in following a teacher of wisdom, and very subversive wisdom at that. One of my biggest missions in my own ministry is to remind people that we're supposed to be following Jesus. We're not supposed to be worshiping Christ. He did not want fans. He wanted disciples.
John, I wish we had more time. I can tell you're passionate about this, but I need to move along. Thank you for your call today. Dr. Myers, is there a website where people can read some of your commentaries that get published in your local paper?
Yeah, okgazette.com. I write for the Oklahoma Gazette, and those columns are all posted online at okgazette.com. Then our church website is mayflowerucc.org.
Okay, great. We're going to take a quick break and return with Dr. Robin Myers. We'll take more of your phone calls. 888-5 Peter B is my toll-free number. And his book, you got to read it, Why the Christian Right is Wrong, A Minister's Manifesto for Taking Back Your Faith, Your Flag, Your Future. Dr. Robin Myers, our guest here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the best of Peter B. Collins, pre-recorded. Happy holidays from all of us at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. NPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
This is Laura Pernetta of Pernetta Real Estate Advisors.
As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunedaRealEstate.com.
Let's take that drive home or in and around the Monterey Bay area. Few problems in the Santa Cruz Mountains northbound 17 before the Redwood Estates. Okay, it's an improvement here. The crash, it looks like crews are clearing this away. It was a vehicle that hit the center divide. It was blocking the left-hand lane. Looks like it's off to the shoulder. We do know there is slowing still in that area. Meanwhile, Live Oak, Capitola Road at 17th. Major injuries involved in this wreck. Vehicle hit two light poles. Both of those poles are down. So emergency crews are there. Also, workers need to clear those poles away. Also in Gilroy, little problem. Eastbound Highway 152 at Lover's Lane. Big rig hit a car and a pickup truck. A pickup truck is pinned against a pole. Emergency crews are now on the scene. This look brought to you by your Bay Area Volvo retailers. Celebrate the season with Volvo's holiday sales event. Lease an 07 Volvo XC90, $359 per month, 24 months, $3,353 down. Taxes, title, and license fee extra. I'm Alex Daly, KR.
In a moment, 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number if you'd like to join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Dr. Myers, I wanted to ask you to weigh in on something that I brought up earlier today on the program, and it has to do with the balance of political interests and the loss of life in Iraq. And I'll offer just two examples. Bush knew he was going to sack Donald Rumsfeld sometime before the midterm elections. He flat out lied and then rationalized the lie to the press when confronted a week later because he said that he had confidence in Rumsfeld and he'd be there till the end of the term. Secondly, today, based on an interview that was broadcast in London over the weekend, we have quotes from Dr. Henry Kissinger, who presided over our debacle in Vietnam, and who we were surprised to learn a few months ago is a key private advisor to Bush on the war in Iraq. And he now says that, a military victory in Iraq is not possible. Now, he knew that before the midterm elections. And just to narrow it, we lost 106 Americans during October alone, and thousands of Iraqis died. And now we're going to adjust our policy because it's safe. It's after the midterm election. But the cynical determination that those individuals made to keep silent as Americans died every day is something that I have a real problem with.
Well, and especially when you are keeping yourself busy calling other people evil, and you are in fact doing yourself what is politically expedient. It reminds me a little bit of Robert McNamara back in the 60s. He knew the Vietnam War could not be won, and we didn't find that out till a long time afterwards.
Yeah.
Politicians who do what is politically expedient at the cost of human life, if that isn't evil, then I don't understand the definition.
Mm-hmm. So how do we deal with it?
Well, I mean, I think we all wake up to the fact that we have been lied to compulsively and pathologically. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are dealing here with a lying machine, and it happens again and again and again. And so, at some point, you have to simply rise up and say, "I'm sorry. I've lost all trust in this administration. I don't believe anything they say. I don't think they value human life, no matter how often they talk about being pro-life. We don't even count Iraqi dead. We don't count them because they don't count." And this we do in the name of Jesus. It's an extraordinary time we live in, Peter, and things are upside down. I wrote the book because I simply wanted people to wake up, look around, sort of in the biblical terms, have the scales fall from their eyes, because we are in dangerous, dangerous times right now. I mean, the future of the whole planet, the whole human race, hangs in the balance. We need to be able to trust our leaders and think of them as truly magnanimous human beings, not people who simply do what they need to do to hold on to power.
Brian in Mesa, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Dr. Robin Myers.
Hi, Peter.
Hello, Brian.
I appreciate you taking my call. Dr. Myers, I'm not really very smart in theology or politics or civics, but I have noticed a trend, and maybe you've heard this term before, but catalyzation. It just seems like we're catalyzed, you know, in the marketplace, at work, when we go to the post office, whenever we buy or sell, and the church used to be a refuge from that. And now we've got these mega churches where you're herded in, they give you a perfunctory message, and then you're herded out, and then the custodians come in, they clean up, and they get in for the next shift, and it just seems, you know, I used to go to a small congregation, and I knew the pastor personally. He wasn't very charismatic, but I always got his sermon, and I appreciated it. I didn't feel like I was a customer. I felt like a part of the congregation.
Well, that's an interesting metaphor that you're using there. And Dr. Myers, these mega churches are like mega malls.
Well, they are. They've, instead of standing over against culture to critique what's wrong with it and try to transform human beings and make them better, we've simply bought into the consumer culture. And our churches look like malls. There are no discernible religious figures in them, just a big stage, an orchestra pit. A minister walks around with a wireless mic and entertains us. You can have all this in Jesus, too. It's called prosperity theology, and it's rampant in this country. So even though Jesus talked about the hazards of wealth, the spiritually debilitating hazards of wealth, the church has now given itself over to helping us all get rich. Now, these things are incompatible. So Brian is absolutely right. Somewhere along the line, I don't know this term catalyzing that he used, but somewhere along the line, we lost the distinction the church is supposed to have as it stands over against our culture to warn us about things that are not good for us. We simply bought into religion as one more consumer product and a church service as one more form of entertainment.
Brian, thanks for the call today. Now to Deborah in Phoenix. Hello, Deborah. You're on the air.
Hi. First of all, the hypocrisy of the right and of the Bush administration just makes me so angry. But I even have a greater emotion, and that's of this overwhelming sadness of what my country has done to hundreds of thousands of innocent Iraqis. And being a man of the cloth, you know what forgiveness means in the Christian doctrine. I just have to wonder, what can we do or ever do to feel a sense of forgiveness? You know, Iraq is such a dangerous part of the world and probably will be for at least Americans for a long time. How can we... I think as a nation, we are going to start feeling, if we don't already, this tremendous sense of guilt.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a component of forgiveness in the Muslim religion, but I just have to ask myself, what can we possibly do?
Well, the big problem, of course, with forgiveness, and we, as people in the church have struggled with this for 2,000 years, is if we forgive the sin, have we condoned the sin? Do we get a little bit of it on us, if you will? I think it's interesting, Deborah, that you, as a woman, are able to share the emotion of sadness so readily. I feel it. I wish more people would feel it, because if we confronted what it is that we've done in this war, which
which is to kill hundreds of thousands of people, many of them innocent civilians. If we don't feel sadness about that, if literally we can't cry about that,
then we're all responsible.
We are all responsible. And it's not a question of, do we forgive the president now? What we do now is stand up for what's right. And then at some personal level, our faith may compel us to forgive him. That doesn't mean we condone what he's done.
Right.
Deborah, thank you for the call. I want to squeeze in one more. It's Ruth in Phoenix. Go ahead, Ruth. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Peter. This is my first time calling.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. I wanted to make a comment on Mr. Myers' comment earlier when he talked about the religion being seduced by power.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the religions are being seduced by money through interfaith groups and through the money that the government is giving them. I worked for Catholic Social Services and Lutheran Social Ministries, and it's not just the Catholics. They receive millions and millions of dollars from the government. Most of them would have to close their doors without having the money that they're getting.
Let me get a quick comment, 30 seconds, Dr. Myers.
Well, that's why I support the separation of church and state and oppose faith-based initiatives. We should never be handing government money to private religious organizations because all kinds of corruption follows, and that's simply one more form of power, Ruth, that the money itself is a form of power. We're on the wrong track. We need to pull back from faith-based initiatives.
Ruth, thank you for that call. And Dr. Myers, thank you for a powerful hour. It's always inspiring to talk with you. And we'll talk again soon. The new book is Why the Christian Right is Wrong, a Minister's Manifesto for Taking Back Your Faith, Your Flag, Your Future. We've been talking with Dr. Robin Myers, M-E-Y-E-R-S. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. We go into the free speech zone next. Call me at 888-5-PETER-B.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. An Iraqi appeals court has upheld Saddam Hussein's conviction and death sentence. CBS News correspondent Randall Pinkston says the hanging could happen within 30 days.
While the death sentence is supposed to be signed by Iraq's president and two vice presidents, a spokesman for the High Tribunal Court that convicted Saddam says the Iraqi judicial system will make sure Saddam is executed even if the elected officials refuse to ratify the death penalty.
Security will likely be very tight around the country for the verdict. Baghdad International Airport was closed and a curfew imposed. Defense Secretary Robert Gates has reportedly signed orders to send the 82nd Airborne 2nd Brigade to Kuwait soon. It could be part of a short-term surge in forces. But CBS News military analyst Mike Lyons also believes the execution may have something to do with it.
With this decision about executing Saddam Hussein within a month, Secretary Gates wants to have more troops on station close to the battle where things could eventually get out of hand very quickly.
Democratic Senator Joseph Biden, who is running for president, said today he opposes any increase in American troop strength. Here's correspondent Howard Arenstein.
The incoming chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee is campaigning against a troop surge in Iraq.
It's the absolute wrong strategy.
Joe Biden says the right thing to do is to force a political settlement with the cooperation of neighboring countries.
This cannot have a stamp on it made made in America.
Biden plans a lengthy Senate review on Iraq next month.
We're going to begin on January the 9th with roughly 3 weeks of hearings that will include administration witnesses, including the Secretary of State.
He says it's clear to him the U.S. cannot unilaterally impose order in Iraq. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
It was a day to shop. You did so before Christmas, but the bargains were even better today.
I'm still out buying. There's nothing wrong with 50% off, 75% off, 80% off. Keep taking it off, and I'll keep getting it in.
Correspondent Bill Whitaker reports retailers are hoping these after-Christmas sales will help make up for their pre-Christmas blues.
Panic price slashing spurred a last-minute shopping frenzy, but it wasn't enough to cross the Christmas finish line on a high. No final government numbers until next month, but Visa is a good benchmark. Spending by the credit card's millions of customers rose 6.5% this Christmas season. Not bad, but last year was much better.